slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. Alright.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Clint Prentice alongside Evan Tognani. Plus, we've got Matthew Malewski. We're going to give you all the highlights like Roscoe the Raccoon, the spectacular Spelunky, and the eye-popping new iPad. You're listening to Error Report, and this is the week of July the 7th.
Oh, motherfucker.
That was stupid.
It's even stupider because he's just doing it as a goddamn Sports Night reference.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't even subtle or anything.
It wasn't subtle, but at least it was cool.
Could you was cut it? Space Jam?
No. Okay. We're starting the podcast. The podcast is live. God. And I just threw this notepad up in the air. And
so are you Felicity Huffman?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'm Felicity Huffman, playing Felicity Huffman on Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Evan Tognati.
What?
How are you?
What do you want?
How are you? Hot in here, by the way. It's really hot in here.
It's not so hot in here.
Are you in a closet?
No.
Okay, well then.
I'm about as close as you could get to a closet whilst being in an actual room, though. It's very
a
small.
A walk-in closet?
It's not a walk-in closet. If it was a walk-in closet, then it would be a closet.
I poked a hole in this to see if it would flow faster. I'm going to see if it does.
Sure.
Yeah. I can't drink with you guys not talking. I need you guys to talk so it's not just me drinking.
So, Evan, what's been happening up in your hizzy?
Holy shit, that totally works, by the way.
What totally works?
Popping a hole in the top of your aluminum can to make it flow faster totally works.
Well, where?
On the right top corner, like from where you popped. So you got the hole for your mouthness.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you poke a hole right in the right top part of that.
Isn't this some, like, beer campaign?
Possibly. Yes, it is, actually. I watched the commercial to see how they did it. And then I did it.
It's just like, hey, you want your beer faster, right? Faster than gravity normally allows. Well, guess
and
what?
And it totally works. They use physics to make it work.
Wow. Have you ever done the thing where, like, you take an aluminum can and you drink just enough so that it can, like, tilt upward.
Yeah, yeah, on like, its edge. So it's at, yeah. Like,
oh, I love doing that. Isn't there a way you can have, like, a plastic water bottle, then, like, poke a hole in it and then pour water into it and the water won't pour out?
What?
I swear that's a thing.
I don't know. Yeah, you poke it up in the top so that... What? No, you're...
No. Like towards, like, the bottom.
Maybe, like, right on that little nub on the bottom, maybe? I don't know.
No, like, legit, you know, you can do it.
Like, legit?
No, I mean, like, you poke a hole in that little nub on the bottom of the bottle, and I... Maybe it wouldn't flow there.
There's something physics-y.
You're physics-y.
You use it first.
Yeah,
so I actually did a lot of stuff.
Higgs boson particles. Ugh, that was weird.
That was weird.
Higgs boson particles merging together to create physics. That is what we learned this week, you guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink some more of this.
Should this be our Higgs boson podcast, where we just talk about nothing but the Higgs boson?
I guess.
It's going to be a short podcast.
It is going to be a short podcast because I don't know that much about the Higgs boson.
The Higgs boson is spelled with two G's.
Right.
And only one B. So.
Right. The people call it the God particle for some reason.
I'm pretty sure that all this particle does is say that physics is the way that we know physics to be.
Like, oh, well, that's good.
I'm pretty sure that it just proves
all it
physics.
Does.
That's a weight off my shoulders.
Like, I don't think it's some particle that allows for non-physics-y things to happen.
So you mean we're not closer to the teleporter?
All I'm saying is that you should play Asura's Wrath DLC and all of your answers will be questioned. Wait, okay. Questions will have answers.
Great. I'm not going to buy Asura's Wrath.
You should, though. Yeah. Oh, man, the DLC.
Maybe when I run out of things in my Gamefly queue.
No, you don't understand.
You could just watch it on YouTube. I mean, it's practically
you don't understand
anyway.
How great the DLC is.
No, I do. I'm just not going to, you know, I already have a list of games on my Gamefly queue that I want to get. So I don't want to get Asura's Wrath before
okay,
those.
What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? I've been doing a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've actually, for the first time in about a month, I wrote some stuff.
What? Which,
I know, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So that's good. Finally getting back to the swing of that.
Do you want to, like, say something about it? What is it about?
Sure. Well, I'm writing two things.
What are you writing? I want to know what you're writing.
Okay. So I'm writing a screenplay, which I'm about like 6 pages into. Which someone in my film class came up to me and was like, hey, you're the guy who writes stuff, right? I'm like, sure. What do you want to know? And he suggested that I write a Cary Grant-style comedy. Like, a comedy that Cary Grant would have been in.
What the fuck was that?
What the fuck was what?
I don't know.
But was it Roscoe?
I think it might have been Roscoe.
Anyhow, I didn't write that, even though he wanted me to. Instead, I'm writing a script, like a black comedy thriller about a guy who dresses up like he's... like he's in one of those movies and goes to fancy dinner parties and kills all the people there.
So it's kind of like Charade meets Hitman.
Well, if you want to be reductionist, Clint.
Am I close, though?
It's not really. The first 20 or 30 pages are just an extended scene of him, like, going to a dinner party with four other people and systematically killing them so that the others don't notice.
But you should star Nicolas Cage for that.
I thought you only got 6 pages into it.
I know, but see, I plan things, and I've planned that out
so
already.
So you've written 6 pages, but you know you're going to write at least 20 for the first scene.
Yep.
Which means that's 20 minutes, because in screenplay terms, about a minute is about a page.
That's true. I mean... that's less so for me, because I tend to write a lot of dialogue, and which goes faster.
And you tend to write less stage direction.
Yeah.
Which is good, because, you know, a director doesn't really want a writer to tell him how to direct. He just wants to know how to say the words.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I'm writing is the second episode of the second season of my TV show, which I'm about 3 pages into. At the moment.
3 minutes.
So, yeah, 3 minutes. 3 whole minutes. And I already have a reference to His Girl Friday.
What about Sports Night?
I don't have a reference to Sports Night, unfortunately.
You shouldn't have a reference to Sports Night. You should make a scene that is like Sorkin dialogue where they talk about Sorkin. That would be funny.
My show is already sort of like a Sorkin dialogue thing.
But if they were talking about Sorkin and like one person wasn't all up on Sorkin,
it'd be meta.
It would be so meta. It would be really funny. I would like that. You should write that. I'll write it.
Okay. Thank you for the suggestion, Clint.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
That'll be $5.
That season has been very difficult to write because I have a lot of ideas sort of planning ahead about what I'm big things I want to happen, but it's hard to stitch them together into like a cohesive thing.
It's really easy. You just make a hell mouth, and then all of the answers have questions. Questions have answers.
I don't have a hell mouth, but a lot of crazy shit is going to happen. So I'm looking forward to that. Other than that, I bought an iPad.
You know what you could have bought instead of that iPad? Asura's Wrath and the DLC.
So the iPad 3 is
Evan, the iPad.
The new iPad.
The new iPad.
I don't give a shit what
it's not called the iPad 3.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing on earth. I'm not going to call my iPad the new iPad.
Well,
I'm calling it the iPad 3 because it's the third goddamn one.
Why don't you just say, hey, my iPad?
Yeah, I'll say that too after I've already introduced it as being the iPad 3.
The resolutionary.
But it's not the iPad 3. It's
yeah, no, but it is.
The resolutionary new iPad?
It's the third iPad, but it's not the iPad 3.
Now, hold on. Okay, wait. Because, Evan, whenever I got my iPad, you said, why did you get an iPad?
Yes, I did.
So now I'm going to ask you the same question.
Because my laptop is getting really shitty really fast.
All right. How do you like your iPad?
I like it. Okay. I mean, it's kind of... The iPad is sort of a known quantity at this point.
Yes, it is.
So I mean, it's not revolutionary or anything.
It's resolutionary.
The retina display is awfully pretty.
It is awfully pretty.
Not going to dispute that.
I don't know how you can.
I've been sort of been getting up to speed on all the stuff I missed. I played some Infinity Blade 2.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really get it.
Out of 10 on IGN.
I don't really get why people are so fucking uppity over that game. But it's cool, I guess. And wow. Then I bought comics.
Woo! Comics! What comics did you buy?
Oh. Can't believe I bought comics.
What comics did you buy?
Tell me.
So I bought and read the first three issues of Watchmen.
And how do you like it?
Is fucking great.
Thank you.
I'm
glad
then,
you like it. I'm really glad that you like it, actually.
I knew I'd like it if I ever got around to reading it. I just never did.
See, I thought that it might have been one of those things where everyone was talking it up so much, and then you're just like, it's good. It's just not, what the fuck? Why is everyone so uppity on this? But
I mean, I don't think it's a definitive piece of 20th century literature.
It is,
like
actually.
I'm sure a lot of people do.
But it is.
I mean, it's a very good comic book. Not disputing that.
Anyway, what else?
I also read the first issue of that Fatal thing you wanted me to read.
How do you like that?
Yeah, it's okay.
You got to get into it because things don't get very Lovecraftian till issue 4, and then shit hits the fan.
Sure, I'll probably continue with that. I read the first issue of Batman.
Yeah. Good.
Well, don't take that first issue, because I read that first issue and I wasn't so up on it, but Scott Snyder, man.
Well, I like the first issue.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
I don't get why you don't like it, Clint. It's
no, it's good. It's just not, it's not the same, like, if you put that up to, like, you know... The things that come after it.
Well, of
it's
course.
Very
I mean, it's
got to
get some exposition out of the way and stuff.
All I'm saying is that it's very forgettable,
relaunching
and I wasn't very keen on the whole Dick Grayson being Joker for really no reason at the beginning.
I don't.
Well, no, he had to go to. I've only read the first issue, and I can tell you what Dick Grayson had to be the Joker.
No, I said I'm not keen on it. I didn't like it. It's not that I don't understand it. It's that I just didn't
You
like
said
it.
For no reason. And there is a very specific reason.
You're a specific reason, all right? That series gets really good.
Yeah, I think it's already pretty good, so...
You should read more of it.
Those are the three I've read.
Okay.
Because I don't really want to read mediocre comics since I'm starting out. So I'm just reading ones that people suggested to me.
Do you want me to give you one more?
Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing. Or Animal Man. Take your pick.
Yeah. I actually did buy the first issue of Animal Man. I haven't read it. But
Jeff Lemire is pretty great.
Yeah.
Just whatever you do, stay away from the Justice League because it's not very good.
Yeah. I hear
the
Justice League Dark
stuff
is good.
I should read.
I don't know. If you like Batman, I'd pick up Batman and Robin as well. That's
I was talking specifically about Marvel stuff.
Oh, is Marvel there? Stuff. Yeah, I really like Amazing Spider-Man and Wolverine and the X-Men. Those are my two. Those are my go-tos for okay. Marvel.
All right. So
I
yeah,
see your Daredevil's real good.
Yeah, yeah. I've read two issues of Daredevil and it's been pretty good. I need to read more. I just don't know when. Anyway, Evan, you just missed out on a Spider-Man sale.
Well, I don't know what I'll do with my life now.
Well, all I'm saying is that you missed out on a Spider-Man sale where you could have gotten in on Spider Island issues, which I did.
I would say my main complaint so far with not the comics, but the Comixology app, is that they're really weird about how they split up collections. Like, yeah. I can buy groupings of The Walking Dead if I wanted to, but yes. I can't buy all of Watchmen.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's just based on publisher and how they separate it within Comixology. Yeah. It's real dumb. But, yeah, pick up
Walking
Dead, dude. But
the whole, like, dynamic scrolling thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that app is pretty neat.
Yeah, and with the new iPad, I have stopped using that, actually.
Really?
Yeah. The whole, like, it pushes in on a frame thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I stopped using that, but only because I could see everything because the Retina screen is so detailed. Like, you get so much more detail.
Yeah, I use that all the time because I just like sort of the way it.
You're
there
right.
are times in that scrolling that it adds like this weird dramatic flair to what's happening.
Right. Yeah.
That I like a lot.
I can understand that.
So.
I can.
Especially in Watchmen when there's like, you know, a lot of scenes that are taking place at the same time and kind of cutting back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That works really well. So I'm having some fun with that.
Did you buy any Walking Dead or did you just?
I have not
oh,
yet.
Okay. All right.
Although I probably will because everybody
it's
loves that too.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. So that's about it for the iPad. I like my iPad a great deal. Mm-hmm. I like that I got one of these cases that comes with the Bluetooth keyboard.
Oh, so, okay.
So that's pretty nice. I can actually like write things on it.
Yeah.
It's actually why I started writing again was because I could just. They have the Celtics script writing app on here.
They do.
Works pretty
know.
Damn well with the keyboard.
Also, if you ever find yourself in the position of using the on-screen keyboard, go ahead and, like, let me tell you how to do this real quick. So you have the keyboard on the screen, and that little button down on the bottom right, that is the keyboard with a down arrow, if you hold down on that and say split, it splits the keyboard in half, and you can, like, move that keyboard wherever you want, and you can just use your thumbs while holding onto the iPad. It's pretty cool.
Really?
It's pretty cool. That's how I type on the iPad now.
It sounds pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
So, yeah.
It's really fucking
That's about
hot
it for
here.
the iPad.
Okay.
iPad's pretty good.
It's pretty great.
Then they were supposed to send my computer back today. They didn't.
Gasp.
So I don't have a computer.
Really?
Yeah, really.
They were supposed to get rid of the raccoon today, but I still have a raccoon.
That's practically the same issue.
I'll trade you a raccoon for a computer.
I'll pass.
Okay.
On that. I mean,
Worth
I love
shot.
Raccoons.
Worth a shot.
I have so many raccoons that just skulk around outside my house at night. I love them so much.
You see, I'll talk about it in a few minutes, but I stared into his eyes.
You know, there's a deer that hides underneath the tree next to my driveway. And when you walk out there in the middle of the night, sometimes the deer will just charge at you. It's the
that
worst
sounds much
fucking
more...
thing.
Has it hurt anyone?
No, it came very close to, like, just destroying my brother. But he is on the ball, I guess. yeah. And then I also keep hearing scratching noises at night, which I try to pretend, but those are probably raccoons.
Are there creepy messages on your window the next day?
No. I mean, there's the blood that drips from the ceiling, but they say that's normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, actually. I have it.
Yeah.
It's not raccoon blood.
Roscoe's blood?
No, definitely not Roscoe's.
Is it Roscoe's poop virus?
Maybe.
Isn't he supposed to die? Like, how has he been living?
You know, I actually think that he is able to get in and out, and he's actually started, like, living in there because, well, it's really fucking hot. And so living in my AC where I keep it at, like, 72, I mean,
what you gotta do? You gotta turn it up to, like, 100 degrees and then he'll
get him out of it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, anyway, I think he can get out. I just want to know how the fuck he got in here to begin with. That is the question for me.
That's a good question.
I can hear him scratching right now.
These questions need answers.
I can hear him scratching right now in the other room.
Who watches the raccoons?
I don't know. Probably the raccoon men. Oh, actually, in Guardians of the Galaxy, that rumored Marvel movie, there is a raccoon man.
That's so dumb.
Full circle.
I feel like they just ran out of cool superheroes by, like, 1972.
Yeah, that's
and
about
so
when...
then they just started making Raccoon Man.
That 1972 is almost when... it's like 10 years before... Wolverine is, like, 37 years old, so... As a character.
Really?
As a character, yeah.
He would seem... I would suspect he was older than that.
No. But... As a character, he's 37. Like, 37 years ago, okay. He was made, but he's actually, like, I would assume in the comics he's more in his 40s, but they don't worry about comic book aging. It will just drive you fucking insane.
Sure.
Because, I mean, Captain America's technically been alive for 71 years, but he's not dead yet, even though he's died, like, 3 times.
Batman's, I look forward to diving into more comics, I guess.
Batman's still alive in Batman Beyond, and he's finally become an old man.
Great.
That was a weird TV show.
Is he a kick-ass old man?
Hmm?
Is he a kick-ass old man?
Did you never watch Batman Beyond as a kid?
I never did.
Oh. No, he's not a kick-ass old man. He actually got down on his luck, and then some kid named, like, Trey or Tracy or something found him and, like, helped him. And then Batman's all like, dude, you should be the next Batman. And then they trained him to be Batman Beyond, the new Batman with, like, an invisibility suit and all that jazz. It's weird. In the future.
That's pretty cool.
Flying cars and people who graft alien DNA. This is actually pretty cool. It is really high concept for a kid show, but they like the drug and like tattoos and shit. That is all alien DNA grafted onto human DNA, so you become like a tiger person, and that is like your gang.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty weird.
I actually think I saw a Static Shock episode about that.
They're Static Shock, sure. I don't fucking care about Static Shock. That series got canceled.
It was cool. The show.
And the comic.
Oh, yeah.
Evan!
Yeah, me. Man, I'm having trouble sorting through all the stuff I've done. Okay. That's right, I'm going to New York next week.
What?
Plot twist.
Oh, man, this is just like season 2 of Sports Night where...
So, yeah, I'll probably be podcasting from New York next week.
If you can find an internet.
I think I will try to get by on the hotel Wi-Fi.
Mm. Good.
I did that once before.
Luck.
I did it once before and it worked fine.
Right.
So, we'll see. Then other than that, I played some video games.
In the recommended section of the Space Jam theme song on YouTube, there is Cotton Eye Joe.
Where'd he come from? Where did he go?
Where'd
it come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
The only reason why I call this out is because the video has Comic Sans Cotton Eye Joe. And I kind of want to listen to it now.
Married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe.
Okay, that's our break music right there.
Video games.
Oh, video games.
Sorry, I was distracted. Someone knocked on the door, which means they just dropped off my computer. That's good.
That is good. So your computer did in fact come today.
Yeah, I take back everything I said.
You don't.
Yeah, I really don't. Okay, video games.
Video games.
First video game to talk about. I swear I'm going to talk about some video games sooner or later. Spelunky is a video game.
Spelunky.
Is it a good video game?
Yes.
Yes? Yes, it is, but or Spelunky, yes, it's a video game?
Spelunky is a fucking asshole.
So it's a good video game, but it's bad.
Yes.
Sounds like awesome. It has a lot in common with Clint.
I feel like the appropriate sound effect for that is a bird dying and hitting the ground. Crickets work too, if you really need to.
Oh, I don't have crickets. I should get crickets, but we can just record scratch it.
Okay.
Till I get crickets. I'll get crickets.
Yeah, so Spelunky is essentially a roguelike action-adventure thing that's out for Xbox Live Arcade. You play as this guy, the Spelunker.
Wait, let's see if these are good cricket sounds.
That's a quality cricket sound.
Yeah, I like that. We'll use that. All right.
So, yeah, you play as this guy.
Spelunker.
We'll call him the Spelunker.
Can we call him Cotton Eye Joe?
No.
Okay.
So, you just have to progress through randomly generated mines for the first... There's a... Like, 3 or 4 worlds, I wouldn't know, because I haven't really gone past the first level of the second world yet. But death is permanent, so when you die, lose all your hearts. You lose all of your equipment and all of your progress, and you get sent back to the start.
That sounds horrible.
Sounds like the Binding of Isaac.
Spelunky is a... Oh, God! I just sitting here thinking about how much goddamn time I spent playing Spelunky the day it came out and how I had nothing to show for it makes me upset.
So it's a terrible video game.
It is a great video game. So, much like The Binding of Isaac, Spelunky is harder than The Binding of Isaac, for one thing, I would argue.
The creator's been calling it the game of the year. Of the Binding of Isaac.
The creator of The Binding of Isaac or the creator of Spelunky?
Yeah.
Creator Sorry, that was, very, that was a very Sorkin-y twist around you just gave me there.
Ew.
It was great.
Stop saying that.
It's great.
It's gross.
I love Sorkin.
I think you're just insecure now.
Maybe.
About Sorkin, and I think that's what this is. You're starting to realize all of the issues with Sorkin as a writer, and now you're trying to overcompensate.
Well, no. I think it's just infecting me in some weird, weird way where I am now sort of talking like a Sorkin character. I'm definitely typing like a Sorkin character, and it's a little bit aggravating, but I kind of like it.
So, in other words, it's like everything Sorkin has ever done.
Yeah.
A little bit aggravating, but you kind of like it.
Yes.
Yeah, no. I do that all the time. If you are around me from the hours of 12:56 to 2:45 on weekdays. I am like that. So.
Sorkin?
That's oddly specific.
Like, you're like Sorkin, or you're like you're impressionable.
I speak as though I were in an Aaron Sorkin show.
We should do this podcast from 12:55 to 2 a.m. your time.
That's not. Those were weirdly specific for a reason. I talk like a Sorkin character when I'm around all the people in my film class who I'm making the television show with. Because we all sort of talk like that. And that's where my film class is from.
That sounds boring.
Sure. I guess.
Video games!
Oh my god. I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore.
Don't worry about Spelunky. It's a hard game, but a good game. Move on.
Okay, fine. You should all play Spelunky.
How much is it?
Not play Spelunky. It's $15.
Oh, well,
it's $15.
I'll get it eventually.
I have milk duds.
There is no reason you should not buy Spelunky for $15 if you would buy it for $10.
No, just that I don't have $15.
Need my paycheck, or else I will starve.
Anywho, Evan Tognani, continue.
Wait,
Silent
I
Hill
got
shattered,
it.
Shattered memories, guys.
I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Okay.
Silent Hill Shattered Memories, guys.
Is it great?
It's so good.
Okay, a lot of people don't like it.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are fools.
Shattered Dimensions.
Shattered Memories.
The one on the Wii.
Yes.
What is Shattered Dimensions? What's that the subtitle of?
Spider-Man.
Man. Okay. Weird.
Silent Hill Shattered Memories is so good. It is one of my new favorite Wii games.
Well, that's not a very hard list to get on.
Fine. It's one of my new favorite current generation games.
Whoa, that's some talk.
Yeah, and fuck everyone who says differently.
Damn.
What is it about Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions that you like so much?
Well, here's the interesting thing about Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, a game I've never played.
I've played it. It's pretty shitty. I didn't like it. My chair is stuck.
Is
my
it now?
My chair is stuck. How do I get it out? Okay, it's unstuck.
Oh, boy. I need, like, a shot of adrenaline or something. Okay. Silent Hill Shattered Memories is really good for a lot of reasons. First of all, excellent use of the Wii technology. You use the Wiimote to control your flashlight, which works very well. Mm-hmm. I read a bunch of reviews where they said that it worked poorly, and I don't understand it, because I thought it worked pretty much
your flashlight.
Entirely well.
Huh? Your flashlight?
Flashlight.
Okay.
Yes. So yes, you use the Wiimote to control your flashlight. You have a phone in the game. You will occasionally get voice messages on your phone. And to hear them, you need to put the Wii speaker up to your ear, which mm-hmm. is the best use of the Wii speaker ever.
I think so, yeah.
Because it sounds, like, identical to a cell phone.
The second best use is whenever you pull back your bow in The Legend of Zelda, and then you fling it, and you hear the bow sound in your ear.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too.
Yeah. I don't think anyone else used that functionality.
Yeah. If they did, it was just for, like, a really frustrating sound that always sounded really shitty.
Now, was it in Zelda that, like, your companion spoke through the Wiimote, too?
I think it was in
Twilight Princess that happened.
I think both. Skyward Sword, I think it did that, too.
Skyward Sword, I think, was, like, the TV speakers and partially the...
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wiimote speaker.
I used headphones, so I never heard anything from my Wiimote speaker.
Yeah, the Wii shouldn't speaker is just generally just kind of aggravating, I think.
You're exactly, which is why it's used so well in Silent Hill. It's it is remarkable that it's used as well as it is.
Is there combat in this one, or is this one of the non-combat ones?
No combat. You so run.
Is it scary?
Not really. Here's why. The game's major misstep, I would say, is that it's extremely binary about letting you know whether or not there are enemies around. Because at the end of sections, or when something dramatic happens, generally it's punctuated by the whole world like freezing over and everything getting really dark, and that's how you know that you are in a nightmare and you need to run away from these enemies. So there's never any danger out of those segments. So scary isn't really quite the right word for it.
Tense.
It's very tense. It's more of a psychological thriller.
Psychological thriller. So it is the seven of video games.
It is the seven.
I mean, that's just kind of Silent Hill in general, really.
Or is it the Zodiac?
It's neither.
Video games.
This is entirely its own thing.
So it's the Zodiac of video games.
This is the first clue that I was going to love this game. This pops up like any normal warning at the beginning of a game. And this is what it says when you first boot up Silent Hill Shattered Memories. Psychology warning. This video game psychologically profiles you as you play it. It gets to know who you really are and then uses this information to change itself. It uses its knowledge against you, creating your own personal nightmare. This game plays you as much as you play it.
Wait, so how does it learn you?
You do a psychological profile test at the very beginning.
That's not the only way, Matthew.
But how does it learn you, and what does it do to change itself?
Okay, so obviously, I've only played it through once, so I can't really speak to how it changes. But from what I've read online, at the start of each chapter, and this is in a story context, it's revealed, but it's a bit of a spoiler, so I won't talk about it. Your character in first person is talking with this psychiatrist. And throughout the game, he'll pop up and he'll start like talking with you about various things. And you have to either complete like little games or mini games that are all pretty good, and not really stuff like, you know, here are pictures of six couples. Tell me which ones are still married and which ones are divorced.
Ooh.
Like that sort of thing. And then you arrange them into that order.
That's cool.
And yeah, those affect the way the game turns out. Even the smallest things I've read affect how the game turns out. Like, if you go, while you're playing the game, if you try to go into the women's bathroom before you try to go into the men's bathroom, that counts as something that changes, that will, like, change something later on. If you focus on a certain painting or if you walk a certain way, like, it'll change the profession of the guy you're playing as. It'll change what characters you meet and what they're wearing when you meet them.
That's weird.
It's really cool, is what it is.
It's weird.
So, like, the example that was given is if you have an unhealthy obsession with, like, sex evidence throughout the game, then this police officer you meet will be in, like, this really skimpy uniform.
Oh.
Whereas in my game, she was just in a normal, like, police officer uniform.
She'd be in a skimpy uniform for me. Let's be honest here.
I mean, I never said anything.
What was the question? No, what was the question?
What was what question?
The question that you asked that led me to get to say the thing that I did about being a sex addict. I think that was the question?
There was no question.
But there
was
a thing about sex that you were talking about that led to the police officer lady skimpy uniform.
That's,
what was that?
Depending on the slightest, like, seemingly just immaterial choices you make.
So, like,
the,
whether or not you like shine your flashlight on her boobs or on her face?
Sure. If there's a point when you go into a nightclub with a bunch of paintings of nude women, and if you shine your flashlight and like rest on one of those for a while to look at it, then that will count against you and like.
That's and then the whole game will turn to Magic Mike the game.
Yeah. Wait. No.
So little things like that are really fascinating. There's three different endings you can get. I got what is widely considered to be like the good ending of the three. Mm-hmm. Not the good as in higher quality, but
the good as in person.
Yeah, sort of.
Man, I was going to ask that.
Man, the end of that game is. I want one of you to play through it so you can agree with me about how amazing the end of that game is.
I'll put it on my GameFly queue.
The twist at the end of Silent Hill Shattered Memories is among the best twists in
the twist
in a video
at
game.
The end. The twist at the end of A Sword's Wrath DLC is among one of the best twists in video games.
You know what, Clint? You know what?
What?
I've been trying to talk about my shit without anybody interacting with me for like the past 20 minutes, and it's really hard. And the only time you pipe up is to say something dumb about Asura's Wrath or Sports Night. So maybe you could lend me a little help.
I have been lending you help. I asked about the sex thing.
The last bit of help you raised was asking me about a question that was never asked in the first place and slowed down the whole thing entirely.
I have milk duds.
Shattered Memories was on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the PSP.
It is also on the PS2. I would recommend you put it on the... There's just a lot of... I will give one example of a puzzle. The puzzles are, like, uniformly really good and interesting without being, like, too obscure. So one example is I was in this planetarium in a school, and I flicked on the lights, and I saw someone had traced in the stars, like, a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a door that was locked at the other end, so I called this number, and I am holding the Wiimote up to my ear, and then it rings, and that stops ringing, and there's about 3 seconds of silence, and then a guy whispers, "It's open," and the door clicks open. And then he hangs up. It's cool. just like a lot of really cool kind of atmospheric puzzles like
According
that.
According to S. Nelson on Amazon.com reviews for Shattered Dimensions, Shattered Memories, the puzzles are cool, but there aren't enough of them. Are there enough of them?
Yes. I mean, it's like a 6-hour game, so I feel like if there were more puzzles, it would really sag.
L. Pittman says, "Now, the thing is, a lot of people say that graphics are how you can tell a lot of love went into a game, and that's just not true." He emphasized the not.
People who say that.
26 other reviewers made a similar statement to him.
Is that so?
Nemo Deison says, "Yes, you can't run. Can you run in this game?"
Yes, you can run. Running is the primary means of getting away from the enemies.
But he just says you can't run. Because
that's like the primary reason the Fable games aren't very good.
This is a 1-star review, and it is entitled, "Bored. I bought this game because I enjoyed Silent Hill Homecoming. I cannot even finish this game.
By the way, okay, first of all, this should be a new segment, is us reacting and criticizing Amazon reviews.
Okay.
I'm just going to throw that out there. I think that would be fun. Also, if you're going off of really enjoying Silent Hill Homecoming, then there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, that's the
same. Silent Hill Shattered Memories is... I was so enamored with it by the time I was done that I started playing the first Silent Hill, which is really hard to go back to. But, mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope one of you plays it, or somebody plays it, so that they can agree with me, because it's like, is just a hidden gem of a game.
You know what else is a hidden gem of a game?
If you say anything about Asura's Wrath, I swear to God,
Oh, it looks like in the PSP version you can point your flashlight, so I'll get it for the Wii.
Yes. You shouldn't have gotten it for the PSP. Why would you get something for the PSP?
Well, if it's comparable. Ever. I have
You're
a PSP.
Comparable.
I got Silent Hill Shattered Memories for $15 at GameStop.
$15 at GameStop. Asura's Wrath is a hidden gem of a video game.
Oh, god damn it. Anyhow. I'm trying to think if there's any more praise I can heap on Silent. I can't really, unless one of you plays it, so we know what we're talking about.
Okay.
About the way that game unfolds, because it's sort of unthinkable.
How are you going to get it for the PSP just to piss you off?
That's just the dumbest thing.
What else?
That's just... What else did I do? Sort of continuing, like, my weird fascination with late 90s RPGs, I played 6 hours of Xenogears, which is the first game in the Xeno franchise.
It's connected to Xenoblade?
No.
Okay.
Xenoblade is not connected to any of those games. It's just called Xenoblade, I think, for marketing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And Xenogears is a little tough to recommend.
Mm-hmm.
But I am playing it. I don't want to talk anymore.
That's okay.
I'm just talking to silence, and it's not very
I'm
fun.
I'm listening. I'm trying to respond when appropriate.
Uh-huh. Matthew, what have you been doing?
Not too much of most note. I saw The Amazing Spider-Man new to theaters.
On a Tuesday, the biggest Tuesday opening of all time.
Is it?
Because no movie opens on a Tuesday.
Yeah. What was its gross?
I don't know, like $35 million on opening day.
That's pretty impressive.
Well, not for a superhero movie.
I mean, on a Tuesday in the 4th... What was that, the 4th of July?
No, that was Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Well, that's still pretty good. Anyway, the movie itself's pretty good.
Pretty good or really good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's you know, probably the worst thing about that movie actually is just the CGI and the main villain isn't super good, so it's kind of distracting every time Spider-Man fights him.
Matthew, continue.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. Emma Stone's cute. Andrew Garfield's.
She is.
Andrew Garfield is a better cute Spider-Man than Tobey Maguire ever was.
Is he cute too?
He's cute, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You heard it here last, folks.
Yeah, it's a pretty quality title. I mean, it's no Avengers or
quality title.
As far as superhero movies go, I'd say it's pretty good.
Is it better than Spider-Man 1?
Yeah, I think.
Aside
from
Spider-Man 2?
Two's really good.
Is it better than Spider-Man 3?
It's in the ballpark of two, I'd say.
Is it better than Spider-Man 3?
Yeah. Yeah. That's not hard.
Well, I think Spider-Man 3 is a good movie.
Okay. I have several friends who would, like, never speak to you again if you said that. I think that's kind of a thing, right? People just hate Spider-Man 3.
I don't understand it.
I think it's just because of the whole
it's too
scene.
Long and there's too many villains and it's not particularly well written or acted.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are all good points. But I think people point to him going emo as the big thing.
Things of similar nature could be said about The Dark Knight.
And I do say them frequently.
Oh, all the other things.
It's too long. There are too many villains. And what was the other thing? Not very well acted? Well, you can't really say that. I mean, the Joker's good.
I said poorly written and acted.
Poorly written and acted. The last act of Batman. Pretty bad.
I'm not going to jump on this bandwagon, even though I think everybody knows I agree with Clint.
Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it this weekend.
Yeah, it's worth it. So, you know. Whatever my opinion's worth, there it is.
Well, I'm not
probably not much.
It, so.
Might get you like a
somebody
like
else
a half off coupon. Target.
If I buy Amazing Spider-Man, I can get money for seeing the movie.
Didn't the Battleship game do that too?
I think so.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
All the people on there that bought the Battleship game, you know.
Uh-huh.
The Battleship video game based on
I heard it's pretty good.
The game?
Uh-huh.
I heard it was shit.
I heard it was pretty good.
I heard you have like two guns for a first-person shooter and the shooting wasn't very good.
I heard it had some good ideas.
That weren't well implemented, that's what I heard.
I heard you had some good ideas.
I mean, I heard that too. And I
so
also
Spider-Man.
Heard that.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Matthew.
Yeah.
What else did you do?
Finish Buffy. That's important, right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. How was that?
I told my mom.
Fantastic.
Told my mom today that that is one of the most important television shows that she has never watched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What'd she
yeah.
say?
And?
I told her that she should watch it.
Yeah. Is that the end of the story?
She's having foot surgery later this month, and I'm going to make her watch it.
I see.
Are you going to do so the clockwork orange, you know, peel open her eyelids?
No.
Okay. That's good.
So how do you like the end of Buffy?
The end of Buffy is problematic from a plot perspective. But
you're problematic from a plot perspective.
Well, her whole idea is, her whole plan to stop the end of the world is pretty dumb. I don't think
you're
you
pretty
can
dumb.
Argue that. But it's still a good finale, and the last scene's pretty great. So, I mean, I liked it. It
wasn't I would argue it's not the best thing that show has ever done.
Oh, no,
I wouldn't
yeah.
say it, though.
I would argue that it should have ended 10 seconds earlier.
You say that about every
yeah,
Doctor
really?
Finale.
No, I just think that should have ended 10 seconds earlier. I've come around
yeah,
to the angel thing.
Angel should have ended
I've come
10
around
seconds
to the, I've come around to the angel thing, but I still think that Buffy should have ended 10 seconds earlier.
Why? You
I
should.
Can't.
You think it should have ended when they were
I
just
don't, yeah, I don't get it either. Yeah.
I think it should have ended whenever they were just looking at the destruction and no one said anything.
No, I liked it. They said something because you can tell that she's like, yeah, I can do whatever I want. I'm
and it does
end it's great.
As people looking at destruction and not saying
yeah.
anything.
Yeah, but it does it ends with that stupid Slayer girl lady thing saying, "What should we do now?"
Oh my gosh, that was a great line, I thought.
What should we do now? That's a terrible line.
If anything, I thought that finale should have been a two-parter. It would have worked better.
If anything, I think you should shut your mouth.
Man.
Fine. What else, Matthew?
Nearly done with Angel. Angel season 4 is pretty bad.
Angel season 5 is pretty
yeah.
great.
I mean, there's like good first episode, good last episode, and like handful
spin
of good episodes.
Spin the Bottle's really good.
Yeah, how Spin the Bottle's really funny. And
like,
then the Faith episodes are good.
How do you like Connor?
I'm almost done with season 5.
Connor?
Connor.
Don't tell me I can get it.
Connor.
No.
Connor.
No. The girl.
Fred.
No, the other one.
Eve.
No, the other
Cordelia.
One. Thank you.
Cordelia was turned into a stupid plot point.
Thank you.
And it was awful, and I hated every
terrible,
second of that.
And she suddenly became a terrible actress.
Yeah, and her plan made no sense. And then Connor's whole thing about how he didn't feel anything from Jasmine made no sense because he, like, immediately, you know, bowed down to Jasmine, like, at the very beginning, which I feel like the writers were just kind of writing that and then were not looking back at what they had previously written and accounted for.
The last episode of season 4 is pretty good.
It is pretty good, but there's not a lot of good stuff in between. Even Angelus wasn't that good. He was just kind of.
I don't know. I like. Okay. I do like.
I mean,
Angelus
he wasn't bad, but he wasn't like season 2
that's,
Buffy good.
I think
that,
one of the
season has the episode with the extensive dream sequence that cuts back at the end to him actually turning into Angelus. Right?
Yeah. That was cool.
That was really great.
Oh yeah, like yeah. That was a cool. Yeah, I like that. Episode.
I think.
Yeah.
I think the.
I
best...
thought you were talking about the ending thing that ended off Angelus. That just kind of aggravated me.
I think the best season finale, not season 5 finale is a season 2 finale whenever they go into that alternate dimension.
I thought the season 1 finale was much better.
That's really great. Because then Joss Whedon does the Dance of Joy.
That wasn't even in the finale.
It was in the final arc.
Yeah, it was in the final arc. But it
yeah,
was
the final
finale.
Arc is the finale. The final arc is the finale.
Well, I didn't know you were meaning that. I thought
the
you
final
just
arc is
the
like
last
three
episode.
Episodes. No,
in
the
which
final
case,
arc,
the first season had the best episode outside of season 5.
The final season 5, you were going to get your shit wrecked.
I mean, I'm 5 episodes away from finishing it. So
you're
going to
get your shit wrecked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I've gotten some shit wrecked.
Have
season
you
five,
wait, have you done the Wesley episode?
With his dad?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's really good.
Oh god, yeah. That episode's so good.
It's really good.
Yeah. I like I like season 5 a lot more because I mean, I think if you just add
it's the
like,
best
anything
season. It is the best season.
You know, I don't. The first
it is the best. You haven't.
Season,
you have
first,
not. You have.
Sure,
seen.
But the first half of that season isn't all sunshine.
You're not
roses.
All special roses and shit.
I mean, it's not. I would say season 2 was a lot more consistent.
No.
Not that season five doesn't have some damn amazing episodes.
Season 5 is the best.
It's pretty great.
You're going to get your shit wrecked.
I'm sure I am, but.
Oh, man.
Believe you.
All of your shit is going to get wrecked.
Yeah.
What else?
That's it.
Okay, Clint.
Huh?
What have you been doing?
Okay, so I watched
Sports Night.
I played the Asura's Wrath DLC. And that's
no
really,
kidding.
That's really good. It's really good. It's really good.
You know, you could just get Evan to watch it on YouTube since it's like,
all I'm saying is that Mike Matthew pull up on the mic.
Pull up.
All I'm saying is that it is better than the main game.
Fine. I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to play it soon.
And the final moments are amazing. And then the final and then something happens to a character. And then their final moments are just so great. Oh, my God. It's so great. Oh, that's a really great game, by the way.
Yeah.
Then I watched all of Sports Night. I couldn't stop watching Sports Night. I really like that show.
It's pretty good.
I think it's a very important show. For 1998 time frame, to put in perspective of the time frame of television in 1998, I feel like that is a very important show that people should watch.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I really think that I should not watch The West Wing because it's not on Netflix. So whatever.
Okay, you're missing out on the best thing Aaron Sorkin has done in television.
I can
recommend with no reservations, but...
If it was on Netflix Instant, then I would watch it.
Okay.
But it's not. And so I can't care enough to go to say, Netflix, give me DVDs, watch the DVDs, send them back, and I want to be able to just click and go.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just skipped West Wing and went to Studio 60... And I remembered that I really like Studio 60.
The first 10 episodes, and then it's shit.
I really like Studio 60. And the second episode has one of my favorite scenes from that show. Harriet asked Matt, during the dress, or... During the table read, I asked for the butter and I got a laugh. But during the dress, I asked for the butter and I didn't get a laugh. What did I do wrong? And he said, you asked for the laugh. Well, what did I do with the table read? You asked for the butter. And that is something that has stuck with me since 2006, whenever I first saw that. And that's whenever I got into stage acting in high school. And I took that to heart, and actually during the show that I produced, directed and starred in, I told them, listen, you guys, you can't ask for the butter. But did that Skippy thing again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that's that. That is Studio 60. I'm still watching that.
Yeah.
Still good. I think I'm on like the fourth episode or something. Still good. Second episode of Newsroom. I think we talked about that last week. Maybe. I don't know.
That show is still not very good.
Newsroom?
Yeah.
I like it. Allison Pill is fantastic.
She's okay.
Allison Pill is...
Clint, the West Wing... Do you have Amazon Instant Video? Because it's on here.
Is it, like, free?
I don't know.
Is it on the Prime thing?
I can't
tell. If it's on the Prime thing, I will totally watch that. West... No, not E-West. West. West... No, not Sing Wing. No, not Swing. Wing. I deleted the S. I'm typing with one hand here. Evan's not very thrilled right now. No, it is not on the Prime, like, free stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
So then I started playing a game called Spec Ops The Line.
Mm-hmm. How is it?
So I played like the first 40 minutes and I wasn't so up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped playing, and then about 2 hours before we started, I started started the podcast. I started playing again, and that game does some horrible things.
In what sense?
In the sense that I have done horrible things and feel horrible about it.
Oh, okay. That's what you mean.
I have done absolutely shitty things. Really, really shitty things. And I don't feel like I had any other option but to do those things.
That's cool.
During one of the scenarios where I had to make a choice whether to save the hostages or save the CIA agent, I saved the CIA agent because I didn't understand how to save the hostages. And then the CIA agent ended up dead anyway.
So... I get what you're saying, but that sounds like a game that does not accurately portray its objectives.
No, it didn't
accurately... If you had two options and you didn't understand how to complete...
I didn't understand how to... No, right, right. That option, I was like, okay, that's fucked up. I don't like that. Now, the second thing I did, I'm not going to spoil because holy fuck, I did a horrible thing. And I realized I could have gotten away. It was between two equally horrible things. I could either kill them, or I could kill them in a really horrible way. The really horrible way makes it easy, but killing them seems more humane than whatever the fuck it was that I did to them. Because, whoa. And that's whenever I stopped. I had to put down the controller and say, listen, this is a little fucked up right here.
But it's pretty cool.
It's all right. Oh. I don't know where the story's going. I don't know what these choices actually end up doing to the story. I don't know. I wish I could accurately understand what the dividing points would be. Like, if I did something different, how different would it play out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to play through the game again, because I don't want to feel horrible when I have to do a horrible thing. I've done some horrible things. Anyway, then what else did I play? The Walking Dead Episode 2, where I did some equally horrible things.
Yeah, yeah. How was that?
Man... Oh, that episode is fucked up.
Okay.
It is fucked up. Like, I saw the twist coming from a mile away, but whenever it happened, cool. Yeah, it was still cool because of the way they handled how you take care of it, how that final act goes down. That part was really cool.
Yeah. It's interesting to know that as far as the players choosing what to do, like the statistics that pop up, it's pretty even.
No.
No. Really? It wasn't?
Okay. No, not for me.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
You played it on launch day, and you also played it on 360. I played it on PC. And I mostly did the exact opposite of what the majority of people did.
Okay.
And I realize this makes me a terrible person, but it was one of those things where it was so split second and I didn't feel like I had another option, you know?
Yeah.
So,
did you end up
at the final decision of the episode?
Yeah.
I went with a good one.
Oh,
the
okay,
one
good.
that person tells you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did that too.
And it didn't really feel like a decision to make because I was going to get the spoils either way, really.
Oh.
If you really think about it.
Yeah. That was kind of weird, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that'll maybe manifest itself in the future episodes where you're not quite as tight.
Right. And actually, okay, so Evan, you haven't finished the first episode.
I have not.
You need to get on that.
So
yeah, maybe once I get my computer back, I will.
You might be interested to know that the first two episodes, story consultant Gary Whitta, writer of the fantastic, and by fantastic I sarcastically mean horrible, Book of Eli, was not directly involved with consulting on the story, but through episodes 3, 4, and 5, with 4 he actually wrote himself. Being him having his hands all in. So I don't know how those are going to play out.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that it doesn't turn out to be that, you know, the main character is blind or something. Because that's dumb.
That would be dumb.
That would be really dumb.
Anything else?
Roscoe the Raccoon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Roscoe has been living in my apartment for I'd say close to a week now because I wasn't in my apartment through the weekend, but whenever I got back there was all this crap on the floor, like he had been digging through it, through the vents and stuff. So I cleaned all that stuff up and he has since made a bigger mess. Fuck that raccoon, by the way. Buzz. I felt that like he is my old roommate personified in animal form, and I have to get over him one last time before I can finally be comfortable in my own apartment. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, So Roscoe the Raccoon, I've named him Roscoe because I wanted to, you know, have an R name for a raccoon. Anyway, he's been living up there for a while now, and I told the apartment, hey, I have a raccoon living in my vent. And they said, okay, we'll get someone out there to look at it. They didn't. And so I tried calling the non-emergency numbers for, like, the police and animal control. And they just didn't fucking answer. So I went up to the office this morning and I was like, listen, there is a raccoon living in my AC vents, like actually living inside of it. And I have seen it and the day before I stared directly into its eyes. I don't know if it's trapped in there, but the way that it was looking at me, I feel like it wanted out. I don't know whether or not it was going to scratch my face and try to kill me, or if it just really wanted out because it's actually trapped and starving in there. But I need it to be gone because either way, it's a raccoon living inside my AC.
Sure.
I feel bad for the thing because he's trying to get out, but I hate his fucking guts because he's trying to get out. Like, I don't understand how he could have gotten in here in the first place, because I walked the perimeter of my apartment building, and the only thing that I could think of was that he got through the top. Like, he crawled through the roof and dropped down. But if he dropped down, then that means that he can't get out and he's trapped in here. But the thing is, he's only active at night, which I guess makes sense because raccoons are technically nocturnal animals. But he's only active at night. I never hear him during the day, and he just starts scratching at shit. Dude, I just want him gone. I want Roscoe out of here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for the thing, and I really want it out. I would give it food if it just, like, left.
Right.
But I don't want to open up that vent and, like, get it out myself, because I'm afraid that it would scratch my face or bite me and give me rabies.
You should put on, like, several puffy coats and then put on, like, several ski masks.
I don't have any ski masks, and I don't have any puffy coats. I live in Texas.
Well, you know, if... Don't you have, like, a coat emporium or whatever?
I have... No, that's Burlington Coat Factory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have a coat, and it's thick. I don't have gloves. I can't protect my fingers, and I can't protect my face. If I could protect my face, I would do exactly what you were saying.
You should put on, like... You should just put, like, a plastic box over your head.
Plastic box over my head.
Yeah, so that way, I mean, it's not like he's gonna.
You should just get a plastic bag and just like tie it with a knot, just really tight.
Yeah. So
and then breathe in a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, my clothes hamper is like mesh. It's made out of mesh, so I can see through it. I could put that over my head.
I guess. The
earth. Just smell
you should good. Do it on air.
No.
Okay.
But anyway, so some dude came out like 5 minutes to five tonight. What the fuck is he gonna do? He gets a ladder and he looks up in there. Yep, there's totally been a raccoon in here. No fucking shit. And I said, okay, so what are you gonna do about it? And he said, all right, let me go get one of our raccoon traps. And we'll set it up inside there. And I thought to myself, what are you going to do when it gets caught inside my AC? What am I going to do whenever it's fucking crying inside of a... Anyway. So he goes to try and find one of the traps, comes back about 10 minutes later and says, so we're out of traps. We've caught like five of these things. And they haven't given us our traps back yet, animal control or pest control or whatever. So here's what I'll do. I will wait until Monday and then put a trap up in there. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm not going to live with this thing for a weekend. It's probably like pooped all up in the ceilings.
And the poop virus is already...
And the poop virus could have... contaminated me where I find myself trapped inside of an air vent pooping.
I see.
So that's why you spent yesterday at your parents' house?
That's why I spent yesterday at my parents' house.
Gotcha.
Where I watched like 5 hours of Sports Night. Full circle here.
Full circle.
Full circle.
So I'm now trying to figure out what I'm going to watch after I finish Studio 60 for like the third time. I'm not entirely sure where to go.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I've gone through all of Joss Whedon. I've gone through what Sorkin I can get for like no hassle. I mean, I could watch The Social Network again.
Social it's Network good is movie. Good.
Yeah. You know, hey, you know what?
Andrew Garfield's in that full circle.
Yeah. Not full circle.
Semi-circle.
A little bit. Aaron Sorkin got really happy. If you watch the special features of Social Network, Aaron Sorkin got incredibly happy because David Fincher left the last day of shooting and let Aaron Sorkin film the last scene, which is just everyone checking Facebook or whatever.
Right.
And if you look at this special feature, Aaron Sorkin is just like, yeah, I totally got to direct this scene and it felt really good. I got to stretch my legs and get out of the writer's room for once, and it was just a totally new experience. And he's so happy about it. He's so happy about it. And I felt so bad for him because that was probably the worst scene in the movie. Oh.
Yeah, little corny.
Yep. But I mean
that part.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of corn in a Sorkin joint, so
it's true.
Yeah. I still like Newsroom. Nah. You told me not to watch Sports Night because I wouldn't like Newsroom if I did, and I actually still like Newsroom.
Nah.
I think that Newsroom is
inferior
to Sports Night?
Yeah.
It's too early to tell.
Okay.
But I like what they're doing. I love the actors in it. I think they're doing a great job. It's just I don't know where Newsroom is going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Meh. Meh.
Evan?
Yeah.
What was the thing that finally made you realize that you were tired of Sorkin?
The first episode of The Newsroom.
Okay, so before that point, you were like, yeah, Sorkin's really great. I like what he does, and I can't wait for his next project. And then that next project rolls around, and you're like, I don't like this because I'm Evan, and I don't like things that happen over and over again.
I apologize that I demand some sort of freshness out of the media I consume.
It's a wonder that you haven't gotten tired of this podcast at some point.
Oh, believe me. I got tired about 20, 30 episodes ago.
You're just in it for the long haul at this point.
I'm just in it for the long haul. Progress is slow, but I'm in it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. As Jeff Daniels says in the trailer for The Newsroom Season 1.
I'm in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that?
Roscoe. He was cooking some.
No, that dinner. Was me. That was me. I did that.
Do you want to throw it a break?
Oh, man. Yeah, so I can fix this. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. What is this? Where did this come from? I found a pole in the middle of my, not in the middle, but on the side of my closet. It's weird. And it's made
of
metal.
That is weird.
Oh, man, we're going to throw it a break, and whenever we come back, you will have your news, hot, fresh stories here from the newsroom of Air Report.
God damn it.
Hey, you're the one making me do these things. You realize that, right?
Fuck you.
Been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe? That I hadn't been for Cotton Eye Joe. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
And we're back. You just listened to Cotton Eye Joe, and now we're back. This is Error Report. I'm Clint Prentice alongside Evan Tognati. I'm just going to piss you off some more.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hey.
No, it's fine. Wait. It's fine. I've had a great last couple hours.
I got something for you, Evan.
What?
The news.
Fine. Okay. Let's see. The Walking Dead FPS coming out. It's through Activision. Moving on.
What? Wait. Hold on. Can we talk about it?
Seriously.
Evan's pissed.
He is. He doesn't like that you like things he doesn't like.
No.
That's.
No.
utterly untrue.
I think that Evan looks up to me a little bit more than he should.
You see, she has a father figure.
I'm a very bad role model, Evan.
So, Telltale is going to continue their episodic Walking Dead series.
And yeah, they're going to continue it after the 5 episodes that they have already said it's like technically a season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Activision is going to ruin the Walking Dead franchise with an FPS.
Why is an FPS an inherently awful thing for a Walking Dead game? Because, explain this to me.
Because it just sounded we're going to make a Walking Dead game. We're going to turn into a first-person shooter. That immediately sounds unappealing.
Matthew, I think what you're trying to get at is the Walking Dead as a narrative is inherently not about zombies. Are there, but they're only there to heighten the human drama.
So are you saying that The Walking Dead actually refers to the people and not the zombies?
Yes. I am saying exactly that.
Anyways, in this press release, they explain that the story centers on Daryl Dixon.
Motherfucker, that fucking asshole in his fucking motorcycle. Okay, so there's this new guy living in this apartment complex, or maybe he just got a new motorcycle. Either way, he doesn't know how to fucking drive the motorcycle. He almost spilled out on the pavement while I was watching him this morning. Okay, so here's what he did. He revs his engine to get it started. Like, maybe revving it will make it, like, start faster. I don't know. But he turns the key and then revs the engine for a good solid fucking 5 minutes, and then he's like, oh wait, I forgot my bag. And so he rushes inside, grabs his bag while his motorcycle is still running and is still making that noise, and then he goes out and he starts revving it again, and then he gets onto it and he tries to make a U-turn. He almost fucking falls and breaks his leg. I laugh, and then he takes off and like, and I'm just like, fuck off, dude. We know. Okay, we know. At this point, we know you have a motorcycle in this apartment complex. Do we care? No. But we do care that you keep on revving that motherfucking engine and driving me crazy.
A loud engine means that the bike's performing well.
It's all.
So the story centers on Daryl Dixon and his brother Merle. Players control Daryl as he makes his way through the Georgia countryside.
Wait. So what you're saying is that we're going to be playing as two racist people in a video game?
It said they center. It centers on them.
I mean, what is that going to be like? Is it going to be like Dead Island? Or
I think it's going to be like racist in a video game.
You'll have the choice of fighting zombies or avoiding them, and even meet additional characters throughout his journey. Supplies will be limited, and you'll have to manage food and ammunition.
Yeah. Like, what if...
I feel like you guys are far too negative on this.
I mean, please prove me wrong. It's just a bizarre... It's like Walking Dead, the puzzle game. You know, it's just...
I find that... Say what you will about the human drama of The Walking Dead, it still has fucking zombies in it.
Yes, but it has zombies.
Guns. Would you be happier if this was a third-person shooter?
No.
No.
I would be happy if there was no shooting at all.
The genre of game you are willing to give a Walking Dead game a shot.
Why do we have to have a Walking Dead game? I was pleasantly surprised with the adventure game from Telltale, but why do we need a first-person shooter in a zombie universe where the zombies come in massive motherfucking hordes if they hear loud noises like gunshots?
Why do we...
All I'm saying is I'm not super high on the idea, but if Activision proves you wrong, then great.
Yeah, I'm totally willing to accept the fact that it might be a good game. I just don't think that it is necessary.
Or necessarily a great fit for the subject matter.
If it was just, hey, Activision's going to be making a zombie game, I'd be like, that makes sense. But a Walking Dead zombie game makes it...
But I'm saying we don't know that's about zombies. We don't know that this is a action-packed, mile-a-minute, shoot-as-many-zombies-as-you-can FPS thing. It sounds like they're trying... I mean, I feel like you guys are being too constricted by what a conventional FPS is.
Yes, I am, because of the way that Activision has been treating first-person shooters through this entire generation. They can prove me wrong.
If you were to say, like, I don't know, some publisher that isn't EA or Activision is making a first-person shooter for The Walking Dead, I might be a little bit more receptive, but with Activision, I don't know.
I mean, it's also it's a new prop. Like, how many existing properties has Activision tackled and made like Call of Duty?
Well, let's find out.
I'm just saying that from what we know right now, it just seems really fishy, and it seems like they're trying to capitalize on the popularity of The Walking Dead, which doesn't really fit the mold for a first-person shooter in the vein that Activision has been making for the past 6 years. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I am totally willing to be proven.
I guess
wrong.
I have less of an attachment to The Walking Dead as
you
a property.
You do, so, because hate the TV show, and you haven't read the comic, and you haven't played the adventure game.
Yeah, I know. I'm not... What I was trying to say is that I guess it's because I have less of an attachment that this is not as bothersome to me as it seems to be for other people.
Evan.
Yeah.
Did you know that the humans are the Walking Dead?
So in better news, Telltale has announced that mid-August is when the third Walking Dead episode will release.
I'm excited.
They cannot give an exact date at this time.
Mid-August. August 15th. The Ides of August.
Tell you what we do have some concrete dates on. It's the fall release schedule.
Yeah.
Got some shit coming out this fall.
Mm-hmm.
August 14th, we'll be treated to both Darksiders 2 and Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
August 19th. August 19th, new Super Mario Bros. 2. And I know what you're going to say, Clint, so just let me get there. August 24th, Dark Souls on the PC. August 28th,
Guild Wars 2.
And Madden NFL 13.
I'm really excited for Guild Wars 2, you guys.
Really?
Not as excited as I was a year ago, but I'm still really excited for that game.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
August 21st. Is Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
You went back in time.
I did. That was a mistake. Then September, a little more bare so far. We got Tekken Tag Tournament 2 on the 11th. NHL 13 on the 11th.
Don't care.
Pay tribute to 9/11 by playing Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
What?
What?
because September 11th. Okay, yeah.
Never
mind.
September 18th, Borderlands 2.
That's also coming out.
Yeah.
That's a video game.
That is a video game.
What else is a video game?
Huh.
Resident Evil 6.
Resident Evil 6.
I am incredibly unexcited for that.
So am I.
Yeah. I hear the demo sucks.
I'm ready to be proved wrong. I want a good Resident Evil game again.
I do too. NBA 2K13 also on October 2nd.
NBA 2K13.
Next week after that, the 9th, we've got XCOM, Enemy Unknown, and Dishonored.
Oh, yes. What was the other one?
No.
Dishonored.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I'm in two games that day. There. Yeah.
What if the Resident Evil guy did the subtitles for, like the title screen for every game?
I'd be okay with that.
It would probably sound a lot like what you've been doing.
Borderlands 2.
I think that'd bring a lot of class to Journey. That's just sorely lacking.
Yeah.
Journey. October 23rd.
The Sandy
Medal of Honor Journey. Warfighter.
Medal of
Honor. PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale.
Okay, now you gotta let me say this one.
For
PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale.
Forza Horizon week after is the 30th, Assassin's Creed 3, Need for Speed Most Wanted. Then we're going in November. November 6th is Halo 4. Then we've got Black 2, Week After, Epic Mickey 2, The Power of 2,
Epic
Too Many
Mickey
Twos,
2.
That title.
The Power of 2.
That's November 18th. Hitman Absolution, November 20th.
I want a game that has all three different forms of 2 in the title. I just think it would be cool.
Far Cry 3, December 4th.
You're Far Cry 3.
Marvel vs. Capcom Origins.
What?
Ew.
What?
Is announced. This is a downloadable Marvel vs. Capcom game.
What does it do?
It is a compilation of two classic arcade titles.
Excuse me.
Marvel Super Heroes is one of them. Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of Superheroes is the other. These two games will be packaged together for $15, 1,200 Microsoft points.
Mm-hmm.
You will be able to, in fact, play as Mega Man and fight Wolverine.
Uh-huh. Whenever you're ready, like, I'm sorry, I'm moving ahead, but I do have Marvel news.
Okay.
Pretty
I've got
big
thing
Marvel
left
news.
To talk about. Okay. So, Nights into Dreams HD announced.
What is
HD
that?
HD remake of the Sega Saturn title.
What is
the
that?
The classic.
It's a platformer.
Okay.
And it has improved graphics. It's widescreen. It has trophies. It's coming out for $15, I believe.
$15.
Actually, no, they haven't announced. Forget I said that.
They haven't announced.
New Super Mario Bros. 2 pre-order bonus item.
What?
A gold Mario pin. Because of coins.
That's so cool. I'm wearing it every
day. He's throwing a fireball, which is also gold.
Does it say bling bling on it?
Nope.
I'm not buying.
This is a pre-order bonus. Only online. Will have not you, be given out in store.
Have you played Theater Rhythm yet?
I want to. I have not, though.
Kind of do, too.
It kind of... I am regurgitating a tweet from myself when I say this, but it does sort of look like the coolest thing Square has done with Final Fantasy in a long time.
I mean, take one of the unquestionably best things about Final Fantasy and make it a game.
Yep. And a pretty cool game.
If I was to regurgitate one of my tweets, I would say, I don't know if I'd call Final Fantasy VII the quintessential Final Fantasy game.
Okay. Actually, you just reminded me of something that I will talk about for a moment. Just get this out of my system. Because recently, I've heard a lot of people shitting on Final Fantasy VII. Like, it seems to have all come to a head at this point. And I think that it generally does not bother me if people say something I like isn't good. I generally just shrug it off.
I fucking love Final Fantasy VII. I'm just going to tell you right now, I fucking love Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying that it's not the best Final Fantasy
game. I am not. I agree. I'm not criticizing you either.
Okay, I just want to make that known.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VI is the best Final Fantasy game.
Sure.
With VII coming in second. I'm just really... It bothers me when people say that. I think I figured it out, and it's because Final Fantasy games are all kind of the same.
They are all kind of the same.
Like, people complain about Cloud, right? And how Cloud's like this kind of moody, troubled protagonist with a shady past.
That sounds like Lightning and Squall.
Kind of Lightning or Cecil or
Squall.
Squall is like Cloud squared in terms of grumpiness.
Or any number of Final Fantasy heroes.
Right. It is a Final Fantasy trope.
Thinking about the art design, which looks identical to the art design of every post Final Fantasy VII game. I don't get it.
Final Fantasy IX is different, at least.
Slightly.
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 Anyway.
I, yeah.
All I'm saying
is
that
that's more of a the Sean Bank to the past, really.
All I'm saying is that whenever I saw that trailer for the Final Fantasy VII PC release, it said, "Now you can play the quintessential Final Fantasy game," and I said, "I don't know if this is
it's not quintessential.
It's not the quintessential like that." That was the only thing that I was. It's not the quintessential. It's still motherfucking great.
I mean, that is like five essentials. So
yeah.
The thing that honestly...
Do you fucking hear that? You fucking motorcycle fucking punk!
The thing that honestly...
God damn it!
About this is I was listening to the Bombcast where both Brad and Patrick agree that Final Fantasy VIII was like always the better game than Final Fantasy VII.
That's weird.
And I don't... That seems to become a popular thing for people to say now, and I don't get it. I'm playing through Final Fantasy VIII right now, and that's I don't understand how that could be a thing.
Yeah, everything I've seen points to.
Speaking of Final Fantasy VII, it is coming to the PC.
I also don't understand...
When is that?
It doesn't say.
Okay. Never mind.
Sorry.
I also don't understand why people are always saying that, the Avengers finally does the Hulk right. While it does do the Hulk right, he's not in it enough for me to say, like, this is the best Hulk ever, motherfucker. I want to go with Hulk and Tony Stark. At the end of the movie, I want to see their buddy cop film.
Well, he's not the focus, but he's good enough so that there's interest for another Hulk
film. It is the best movie with the Hulk in it.
It's the best incarnation
of the Hulk.
It is those things, but I have seen, like, this groundswell of people is just like, dude, the Hulk is, like, the best part of that movie. He's the best character. He's the best Avenger. He's so great. And I'm like, dude, there are so many better things in that movie than the Hulk. While the Hulk is great in that movie, I don't find him to be, to use that word again, the quintessential part of that movie.
I think he's the best Avenger.
I think Tony Stark's the best Avenger.
I think that Tony Stark is already too
Joss Whedon wrote
known as Tony yeah Stark he's the great best. I'm not trying to slight Tony Stark, but he's still Tony Stark. The Hulk in that movie, the way Mark Ruffalo plays Bruce Banner, is so much better than everything that came before him and adds a depth to that character that hasn't really been seen in a movie before.
But what I'm saying, like, I'm just saying that he was. There were only really, like, let's face it, three scenes where we got to see the Hulk in a way that makes Mark Ruffalo the best Hulk. The first scene where he gets angry but not angry. The second scene where he gets really angry and almost fucking goes bananas. And then at the end, whenever, and this is the line that people both love and hate, where he says, "That's my secret. I'm always angry.
Right. I feel like he is consistently good throughout that movie.
I'm just saying that it doesn't make sense, this fucking huge groundswell of people saying, like, dude, the Hulk is the best part of that movie. That doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, I think if we're talking on a character level, I think he is.
That doesn't make sense to me. But...
Well, yeah.
Hey... Cabin in the Woods, audio commentary with writer-director Drew Goddard and producer-writer Joss Whedon.
Goddard is really fucking talented.
Plus a making-of documentary called We Are Not Who We Are, making the Cabin in the Woods. The Secret Stash featurette, which I don't know what that is.
That sounds like some sort of short movie starring Fran Kranz, so I'm cool with that.
Marty's Stash is another special feature.
Yeah.
This one, I love this one. "Hi, my name is Joss, and I'll be your guide." An Army of Nightmares makeup and animatronic effects featurette. Primal Terror visual effects featurette. It's not what you think. The Cabin in the Woods bonus view mode, Blu-ray exclusive. So I think that would be like Drew Goddard or Joss Whedon standing in front of like two monitors showing special features while the movie is playing at the same time. The thing that started with like Watchmen and all that jazz with Warner Brothers releases.
Right.
Yeah, that thing. Anyway,
what's wrong with that?
It's going to come with a digital copy. There you go.
I'm excited.
All you need to know about Cabin in the Woods Blu-ray DVD bonus content announcements. Error report.
Okay, so I mentioned Final Fantasy VII coming to PC. I went on my little tirade about Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
and why that game's still really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
Not so much why it's good, but more why it's better than other games.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although Final Fantasy VI is still the best one.
Do you want to know something really stupid about Marvel Comics?
Sure.
Well, two stupid things. So the first stupid thing was they had this series called Battle Scars that they said was going to change the face of the Marvel Universe forever. And you want to know what they did there?
What?
They got a black Nick Fury in the Marvel Universe. Because Nick Fury in the Marvel Universe, like the comic book universe, is a white guy.
So they changed the face of Marvel Comics forever by aping the movie.
Well, hold on. Wait. It gets better. Because what they did was there was this black guy who was going through this story of like trying to find out who he was. And then in the last issue, he loses his eye, so he starts wearing an eye patch. And then someone comes up to him and says, "We found your birth certificate. Your last name is Fury."
Oh, boy.
and then he just randomly shaves his head and calls himself Nick Fury. And so he is, in effect, Nick Fury Jr. because Nick Fury is his dad. So there you go.
I see.
That's a pretty dumb thing to happen in the Marvel
universe. Yeah, that is... That's pretty dumb.
The second one, not so much dumb, but just something that's happening that a lot of people are actually finding dumb. Marvel is coming out with this new initiative called Marvel Now. And now is in all caps with an exclamation point at the end.
Marvel Now!
And what they're doing with Marvel Now is they are rebooting all of their franchises.
So it's the new 52.
It's the new 52, but it's not a relaunch, it's a reboot. So really, all they're doing is just shuffling around their writers and creators and sending all their books back to number one.
That's kind of dumb. Is the past issues, are they like relevant still? Or
Because it's a reboot, I would assume so.
Well, then it's... Sounds like a less ballsy attempt than DC's relaunch.
And they're only doing it with certain Marvel series, which I think is going to be like Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, which is a new series that's starting after Avengers vs. X-Men. Let's see. It will touch every... So Marvel Now will touch every major Marvel character from the Avengers to the X-Men to Spider-Man to the Fantastic Four and beyond. Yeah. So,
you know, as we move into the 21st century, I mean, there's like five different ways to reboot something now. There's rebooting, there's relaunching, there's remaking, there's reimagining. I mean, this is pretty impressive.
Yeah. A new issue number one featuring a new creative team and driving concept that's an easy entry point into the Marvel Universe. It's just to refresh their entire publishing line and create a unique environment, unique movement. It's not unique because DC did this, in which the creative reins on virtually all are quintessential. There's that word again. Series are being passed from one person to another. As a result, there will be both the excitement and uncertainty of seeing new creative partnerships handle the characters and series that have been in the hands of been in other hands consistently for many years. At the same time, this is the perfect instance for readers, both new and lapsed, to dip their toes back into the Marvel pool, in that all of these creators are going to be getting their new story cycles during this time, so it's about a clean point of entry as there's ever likely to be. It is essentially DC's New 52, but less drastic.
I see.
So that's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like a missed opportunity for me to get interested in Marvel.
Well, no, I think that Marvel actually does a pretty good job with some of its series. Okay, so it does a good job of Spider-Man being a series that you can just jump on to at the start of an arc, and then, like, I jumped in at the start of the arc after Spider-Island, and that was a huge arc where everyone in Manhattan got spider powers and Spider-Man had to save the day. Anyway, at the end of that arc, everything was pretty much different. But the way that Dan Slott, the writer of Spider-Man, wrote the series, I immediately grasped what was going on. I immediately knew all the ramifications of Spider-Island. And I loved Peter Parker like I had whenever I was a kid. Like, Spider-Man, to me, Spider-Man and Batman are the two best superheroes ever.
There. Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah.
Spider-Man is one of the best heroes.
I actually think the Hulk is a more interesting hero than Spider-Man.
Speaking of the Hulk, there was this series called The Incredible Hulk. I stopped reading it, but Bruce Banner and The Incredible Hulk were separated from each other. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Banner turned evil, and the Hulk tried to stop him. Now there's evil Bruce Banner out in this island of Dr. Moreau shit.
I thought it was like the Hulk has to stay angry so that evil Bruce Banner can't be evil.
That's dumb.
Yeah,
because the Hulk seemed pretty calm in that series. Anyway, so the Hulk in the Avengers isn't the Incredible Hulk; it's actually the Red Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a general dude who turned into the Hulk. Comics.
Hey, guys, do you know how much money the Avengers has made?
$1.49 million. Oh, billion dollars.
It's $1.45.
Oh, never mind.
It's sort of depressing that both of you overshot it.
Do you know how much Avatar is made worldwide?
Over 2 billion? 2.1?
2.1 some odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Avengers is in third now, domestically. $608 million raked in for today.
4 million?
So, still, I guess someone somewhere still is seeing the Avengers.
Yeah, my friend just saw the Avengers like yesterday, so that's probably.
Is that in the dollar theater now, or is it still in regular theaters?
It's still in regular theaters. 1,270 theaters.
Really? Still. Wow.
I mean, it started at 4,349.
Right. It's just amazing how much staying power that movie has had.
Yeah, I mean, it made nearly $5 million last weekend.
Yeah.
So, still chugging along.
Good on
Part of me
Whedon.
Hopes it'll beat Titanic. I don't think it will. But if those rumors about Joss Whedon releasing like a 3-hour cut in theaters later, like
that'd
with
be
Avatar,
great.
I'd go see it.
I would. I've only seen that movie once.
Three times.
Avatar cheated. So
yeah,
Joss Whedon can do it. Yeah,
that's true. So at this point, guys. I don't have any more news, so let's close out with this. At this point, do you realistically think The Dark Knight Rises is going to make more money than The Avengers?
Make more money? Not at this point, no. Yeah.
Yeah. You think it... By the way you said make more money, Matthew, I take it you still think The Dark Knight Rises will be better than The Avengers.
I don't know. I think it's definitely got a shot.
No.
I think they're different things.
Yeah.
I think the Dark Knight and what the Dark Knight tries to do and what the Avengers tries to do is are two different things.
True, but they're still movies, and you can compare and contrast them. And
I would say the Avengers is a better movie than the Dark Knight. I
can't wait, because the way the cycle has been going, that means the next reboot of Batman in theaters is going to be a campy Batman, and I think that's when Batman is his greatest, funniest.
Funniest. I meant funniest. Probably better put.
I meant funniest.
You meant funniest.
I think that Batman and Robin is the best Batman movie ever.
Is Tim Burton Batman considered? I mean, it's campy in comparison, isn't it?
I'd consider that one more serious than Schumacher or Adam West.
Well, sure. Not going to dispute that.
But, you know what, Evan? Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I haven't. Not much of a dancer.
All right, son. Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Just this last week, the Avengers made $4.5 million.
Hello, Evan.
Like I just said.
I know. It's just crazy.
We went over that. I know.
It's just crazy.
Amazing how much staying power that movie's had.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, isn't it crazy how the Avengers made like $200 million its first weekend?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it crazy how this Avatar movie made like $2 billion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Since it's not
I think that's
good.
More insanity than crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because that movie's pretty dumb. Like, let's get down to it. That movie is dumb.
Yeah. No. Super dumb.
And it's just Pocahontas.
Avatar, super dumb.
Have you been watching Louis?
I watched the first episode. I have not seen the second yet.
I haven't either.
I hear it is better than the first one.
I hear that as well.
And I did like the first one a lot.
I did too.
So
look at that, we're agreeing again. Oh, happy day!
To be fair, a couple.
We
of
need
those
to balance
things.
This out. We need to balance this out, Matthew. Shit on my script some more.
God damn it! They're doing this thing again. I just pulled up my news application on my iPad, and the first news story in the movie section is from LA Times. 4D movies, next big thing for US theaters.
Let's get to questions.
Hold on. I gotta tell you about this picture. I love this picture. It's just a dude sitting in what seems to be a very, very uncomfortable theater seat with the screen being blurred by a mountain of fog that is just rolling in on top of him as he is attempting to smell it. It's fantastic.
What were you saying, Evan?
What? I was saying should get to questions.
Alien Resurrections is better than Alien 3.
That's also not true.
That's whatever.
Alien 3 is actually an okay movie.
Yeah, it's an
Alien
okay movie.
Alien Resurrection is actually an okay movie.
It's actually less than that.
It's actually... And the way you may... Because you don't like Prometheus, right, Clint?
I need to see it again.
Would you say Prometheus is a worse movie than Alien Resurrection?
I need to see it again.
Because if... All right. Because you're...
You know what is a really bad movie? The Silent Hill movie.
That's true. We can all get behind that.
Yeah, well,
I watched half of the Silent Hill movie immediately after beating Shattered Memories. And,
it's not very good.
I watched up to the part when Pyramid Head, like, rips a woman's clothes off, then rips her skin off and throws it at a church. Mm-hmm. Then I stopped watching because I figured I'd seen the best that movie has to offer.
I finally finished that dumb class.
Oh, how's that?
So good not to be in it anymore.
I see.
Yeah.
You didn't learn that Joss Whedon's sex tape?
Holy shit!
What?
Oh, sorry. Okay, I thought this was going to be a lot bigger news than it was. Well, it's still pretty big news because it's kind of horrible. But Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark crew member found dead in the Hudson River.
That sounds like a murder mystery.
I know, which is why
I have to go see Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Yes.
Now.
Yeah, you do.
When I'm in New York, it's probably like some sort of elaborate ARG at this point.
Yeah. So there was apparently a suicide note found at Broadway video technician's home after he vanished from his apartment on Sunday. The body was discovered on the bank of the Hudson River and been identified by on Thursday by NYPD. He ran projections for Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. He's been missing since Sunday morning, and he disappeared. Let's see. Oh, this is horrible. This is horrible. I feel bad now.
Hey, guys, did I mention how good Silent Hill Shattered Memories is?
Yeah, you did.
Because now that I just mentioned it, I'm thinking more about that game and how great it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you should all play it.
Did a projectionist die in it?
No.
Oh.
There are some people who die, though.
What's Peter Krause been up to since Sports Night?
Which one is he?
He's Casey.
Oh, I don't know.
What's Dan been up to? I don't know his name.
I think he's on Josh Charles. Good Wife.
Peter Krause. Peter Krause did 6 Feet Under. Oh, he was in that show Parenthood on NBC.
Am I crazy or does he have a cameo in the newsroom?
Peter Krause?
Yes.
No.
That was a different guy.
Probably.
Okay.
I thought for a second that he was in Studio 60, and then I realized, no, that's just a guy that looks kind of like him.
I see.
That's how those tend to work, if you mistake someone.
We should really throw to questions sometime.
Well, I know. I'm just going to say one last thing. Josh Charles hasn't done anything since... Oh, he's in The Good Wife.
Is that where everyone flocked to after Studio 60?
Yep. No, Felicity Huffman was she really in Desperate Housewives for the entire run?
She was one of the housewives, I believe.
Housewife was she?
She's the blonde one.
I don't know.
My mom used to watch that show.
I haven't seen an episode of Desperate Housewives.
What's the guy who plays Jeremy? He was in West Wing. What do you know? Maybe I should watch that show.
It's the best thing he's done.
And really? Is it really?
Yep.
Are all 7 seasons good?
I mean, it's like any television show. There are good parts and bad parts. On the whole, I think it is better than any of his other TV shows.
Insofar as it lasted longer than them?
No, insofar that it's better.
Who's the president in that show?
Martin Sheen.
All right, then. That sounds like a thing that I should watch.
What's he in? He was the grandpa in Amazing Spider-Man.
He's also the elusive man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It doesn't matter because as long as you come home at the end of the day, it's fine by me.
Could we throw to questions?
Yeah, let's please.
Please.
I have milk duds.
At this rate, I'm just going purely on faith when you guys say this podcast is good.
I haven't done anything as good.
Gems.
A lot of hidden gems.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of explained what a Higgs boson is. That was one of the questions.
I'm not a science person. I don't know what the Higgs boson is.
I'm pretty sure that it's just a thing that says what things are.
I think that's like one of the building blocks of most particles.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
They said something like or whoever used some analogy. It's like Higgs boson is the popular person at a party that people flock to, and so all the other particles flock to the Higgs boson particle, and that forms mass. I don't know. Anyway, Miles. What is the worst licensed game
you've ever played?
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, whatever it was. It was the Tim Burton-inspired video game.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. I actually could have turned that game in, but I was naive and I thought it might be good, so it wasn't.
Worst licensed game I've ever played is probably Batman Dark Tomorrow.
That's a good one.
I actually haven't played a lot of licensed games, or at least not the ones that I remember. I mean, Toy Story 2 was actually pretty great on PC. Or not PC, PS2. PS1. Sorry.
Are you eating Milk Duds?
Yes.
On a podcast.
Don't worry about it.
You're eating caramel covered in chocolate on a podcast.
Uh-huh. They're really good.
You get upset at Ryan when he plays a video game that's silent.
They're really good.
Also, Milk Duds are kind of disgusting.
You're kind of disgusting.
Oh, you're crazy.
Too.
No, I'm going to have to get in your case.
They're gone. Anything that destroys my teeth probably isn't worth eating.
Hey, you know what? If you brush your teeth, then that's not a problem.
No, yeah, hold on. Wait, Matthew. Yeah. What do you mean, what? How is that such a crazy thing for me to say?
That is that it's
sugar.
Not worth eating? Because it tastes amazing?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying there are other foods and other candies I could eat that taste equally amazing.
I want to flip this question.
Destroy your teeth?
I'm not saying destroying my teeth in the long run. I'm saying the mere act of chewing a Milk Dud is like really unpleasant.
I want to flip this question on its head and say, what is the best licensed game you've ever played?
Batman Arkham City.
Batman Arkham City.
That isn't a superhero game.
Oh.
The Walking Dead FPS.
Yeah. No, the Walking Dead episode games. Yeah.
No, I... licensed.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to think of licensed games whenever you're actually trying to think of a licensed game, you know?
Because they tend to be...
Yeah, I'm just starting to think of all the licensed games I really want to exist.
Exactly, and I'm trying to also think of the licensed game that I've played. I can't really think of any.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, I'm going with The Walking Dead.
I'm gonna...
Jurassic Park.
Alien versus Predator.
Really?
The Jaguar?
No.
Or the Xbox 360.
No. That would probably be the worst that I played. I don't remember any other ones. I mean, those Lord of the Rings games on PS2, those were oddly passable.
There have been some good Bond games.
Bond games?
Bond.
007, yeah.
As in James Bond.
Yeah.
License to Kill. Etc.
There was that GoldenEye.
I wasn't even talking about GoldenEye. Like, there were a couple of those on Xbox I remember liking a lot.
Agent
Under Fire and...
You know, Coder...
Agent Under Fire, wasn't that the one that had Pierce Brosnan in it?
Yeah.
And like, the lady, what was her name? Like, Winter... Or Summer or something like that?
I don't remember the lady's name.
Damn it. I'm trying to remember.
This is a series where one of the names of the female characters is Dr. Holly Goodhead. So I'm not sure that...
Oh, God, that's
I watched about 20 minutes of Moonraker last night.
Oh, my God.
Which has Dr. Holly Goodhead.
So
that
great.
Also has a part in it where there's, like, a speedboat chase. But
Holly
then,
Goodhead.
Like... The boat he's on, like, turns into a car.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's sweet.
You know...
Has anyone played the Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from...
Oh, Virginia? Yeah, that's good. That's a good game.
I don't think that any James Bond movie would pass the Bechdel test.
Fuck you.
Which, as we all know...
Fuck you
...is the end-all, be-all test of feminism.
Of objective sexism, yes.
Oh my god, it's gone.
Don't even get me started.
What
on the
start on that goddamn
on,
test
on the perfection of the Bechdel test?
Not even the test itself, but the people who use the test.
The fact that that test exists. No.
You're just upset that Joss Whedon is a feminist.
No. The fact that test is a test that is used to judge whether something is feminist or not is more sexist than something that fails that test or even passes that test. Like, that is so fucking sexist that you need a test like that where there are two women in a scene that don't talk about men and I think aren't naked is the third thing. I don't remember. That is a horrible fucking test.
It has to have at least two named women in it who talk to each other about something besides a man, which doesn't really do any... It doesn't...
All I'm saying is it is more sexist to differentiate something based on that fact than anything else.
Sure.
And the fact that my professor claimed that Joss Whedon was sexist because in the Avengers, two females didn't talk to each other at all is fucking ridiculous.
Here is on the BechdelTest.com database here for Moonrise Kingdom. It has a barely passed rating. It says, this movie passed 3 of 3 tests, although dubious.
Although dubious.
It says, the two named women that, in my mind, give this film a passing grade are Susie and Laura Bishop, who talk to each other a few times throughout the movie. Although it mostly is about Sam, the male lead. But during the bathtub scene, Susie tells her mother that she hates her. Laura assures her that she doesn't mean it, but that's only her emotional state making her say these things. It's a brief exchange, and since the emotional state was brought on by her forced breakup with Sam, it's dubious.
That's stupid.
I think it should technically qualify.
Miles Kendall.
I mean, otherwise it's just an irredeemable bad movie.
That's true.
Miles Kendall wants to know what our favorite comedians are. And I think the answer is Louis C.K.
Currently, yes.
Yeah, currently.
I mean, are we just talking stand-up comedians?
It could be other comedians.
I might need to write these down if you guys.
If I'm just talking about,
I think Aaron Sorkin is a great comedian.
If I'm just talking about a person who's made funny things that
Joss
I like
Whedon.
More than other funny things, probably Woody Allen. But currently, Louis C.K. is the best stand-up comedian.
I would assume that whenever someone says comedian, they mean like a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
But if we want to go down that path, sure, Woody Allen, Joss Whedon.
Sure.
Both totally sexist, by the way.
That's true.
I mean, Annie Hall is just totally fails the Bechdel test.
It probably does.
It most certainly does. I don't know. There are people that are funny.
Carrot Top.
The fine cast of characters that
who's
Aaron
that,
not
who's
found
that,
blog.
Who's that Dane Cook fellow I like so much?
Yeah.
Arlos Mencia. Mm-hmm. Larry the Cable Guy.
Exactly.
Funny people.
Who's that guy with the puppets?
Jeff Dunham.
I fucking hate that guy.
I was gonna say Jeff Foxworthy. Ron White.
Also a riotous comedian.
Ron White.
Same. All of those folks.
Bill...
Engvall. Also hilarious.
Yeah. Jim Carrey.
I like Jim Carrey.
Like, 90s Jim Carrey is actually funny.
Yeah. I mean, he's funnier. I still think he's funny.
Meh.
I mean, unless he's in Mr. Popper's Penguins.
I'm Evan, and meh, anything that's popular, I don't really like it all that much, because meh, whatever.
Now I'm going to listen to Dark Corner Shadows.
Wait, what?
I just made up an indie.
I'm gonna go sit in my room and play Shattered Memories because I like games.
Bit of a hidden gem. I don't know if many people know about it.
I like hidden gems. Those popular third-person shooters and whatnot, those are dumb.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite as good as PC's classic FX 20 simulator.
You guys remember Tales About a Blob? That's my favorite game of all time.
That was good. The Tales About a Blob.
He hung up. Okay, shut up. Evan?
Okay.
Evan? Evan? Oh, okay. Well,
done. Did we pause?
Yeah, I should, yeah.
Yeah, we should do.
So that was awkward.
All right, next question.
Next Evan, what are your favorite games ever? Evan's not going to answer. What are your favorite tabletop games from Miles? Evan, seriously, it's not funny anymore. It stopped being funny.
Oh, did it?
Evan,
yeah.
It stopped. Yeah.
Especially whenever I asked you the question, you could have just as easily just sighed and brushed it off. Evan's angry.
I'm not actually angry.
What's your favorite tabletop game?
I don't know.
Monopoly?
Some shit. Dungeons and Dragons. What am I supposed to say? The Silent Hill tabletop RPG.
I think Mancala is
really good. Maybe the tabletop RPG that's an adaptation of Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia. Maybe that.
What about a Buffy the Vampire Slayer RPG? That's a
thing. I like chess. I like a nice game of chess.
It's pretty galling of you guys to tell me it stopped being funny, me hang up, and then just go straight back into this routine.
It's pretty funny for us, though.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Clint did.
It's still kind of funny. I like to play the game of life.
Yeah. I play the game of life every day, man.
Yeah, but the fake game of life... Do you try to play the game of life where you don't get married and you don't have kids? You're just, like, single through the entire thing?
I mean, we're getting a little personal. Not by choice.
But it just always ends up that way.
Yeah.
What is your favorite childhood toy?
Ooh.
I had a Buzz Lightyear. That was pretty cool.
I had a hardbound copy of War and Peace. Oh my
god. You're a horrible... You were a horrible child. I also had...
Second only to the dictionary.
I also had a Simba. Like a Simba... like...
Mm-hmm.
Teddy bear thing. That I had for a long time. And then... I don't know where it went.
Oh, well. I had this... Jar Jar Binks now.
Oh, I hate you. Moving on. Next question. Cody Bauman, favorite nationality of food?
Chinese.
American. USA.
Yeah.
USA.
We got hot dogs. We got hamburgers. Wait, are those things American?
No.
Pizza is actually American. The first pizza was made in New York City.
You want some trivia? You know why hamburgers are called hamburgers?
Because they were made out of ham.
Nope, because they were first invented in Hamburg, Germany.
Hamburg, Germany. Anyway, pizza is actually native to New York. I just wanted to
Yeah.
You know that.
Show them damn Italians.
It was actually during the swell of immigrants to America. There was this this Italian family who just made a pizza and then made a restaurant, and then pizza happened. I find that really cool because yeah. a lot of people find pizza to be Italian, and I love Italian food and I love pizza, but pizza is actually American.
Yeah.
So there you go.
If but you guys want, are avoiding the question, what's your favorite nationality of food?
If you Italian. If you want true American food, order a pizza.
100% I like Indian
American.
Food a lot.
It's a good choice.
Canadian. Get that back
what,
bacon.
Moose?
Get back bacon.
Yeah. Maple syrup.
Yep. Cody asked two other questions. How many fingers did you lose on the fourth? I still have 10 fingers. And the second question was,
how... I actually hate fireworks.
I didn't watch the fireworks. And his second question was, how bad was your hangover on the fifth? Actually, on the fourth, I didn't drink at all.
Let me tell you something, man. My hangover was severe.
The only reason
I mean, it was more of a heroin hangover than a than an alcohol hangover, but it's just as nasty.
The only thing that I didn't know if I was going to go to work on Thursday, and I didn't want to have a really bad, so I just didn't drink on Wednesday. Mm. I instead watched Sports Night.
Which is like the alcohol of the television.
The alcohol of the television. Sports Night. Tell your kids. Higgs boson, raccoon. Oh, this is a good question. Aiden Kavanaugh, how the fuck did a raccoon get into your apartment? I don't know. Do you take him on walks? No, because he's trapped in my air vents. Does Roscoe have a collar? No, but I saw him and he's kind of cute, but he's still kind of murderous. I think that he could kill me. Anyway, Aiden Kavanaugh also has a actual question centered towards Evan because he likes John Cusack a lot. He wants to know what your opinions on John Cusack are.
I like John Cusack.
A lot?
Yeah, he's a good actor. He's generally good in what he's in, even if the movie's kind of shitty.
So, Matthew.
Yeah.
If you could be a mythical beast, what kind of mythical beast would you be?
Ooh. That's a pretty good question.
5 seconds. Three, two, one.
All right, come back to me. Come back to me.
No, answer.
I don't know.
Evan.
What?
What?
Mythical beast.
Mythical beast. I'd like to be I don't know.
All right, dumb question.
Yeah.
Favorite beverage? Water's pretty good.
Yeah, water's. I like water.
Cream soda.
You're fucking crazy.
Why?
Because you're crazy.
Actually, not cream soda. There's this. Chair, shit, what was it? It was like Barks, like strawberry cream soda or something. It's really
That's
good.
Weird. Yeah. Iced tea, really good. Nice glass.
I don't get people's tea. Fascination with tea in general, but mostly iced tea.
And if you were to add sweet tea and lemonade together, make a little Arnold Palmer, best.
Yeah. I like brandy out of like a. Like a glass container
in my
study. Yeah.
Are you constantly swirling it like that one scene of Rear Window where everyone's just standing there swirling their glasses?
Oh, yeah. And the Amazing Spider-Man?
A lot.
And the Amazing Spider-Man? Peter Parker has a Rear Window poster.
That's great. Oh,
yeah, it was fun.
It sounds fun.
Yeah.
Tell me more about why that's a quality title.
Rear Window.
No, I'm talking about The Amazing Spider. That was a callback to when you said The Amazing Spider-Man was a quality title.
When is the Steam Summer Sale? I don't know.
I think it's on the 12th.
I had a thing that I was going to... I was going to say something about... Oh, man. I can't remember. I had a joke about the Steam Summer Sale, but I can't remember it now. Probably wasn't all that funny to begin with. But what are you going to do? What do you hope to be like when you are a crotchety old man? Evan's already a crotchety old man.
Fuck all of you.
I hope to
not
be,
helping your case here, Evan.
I hope to be as sarcastic as I am.
What
now.
What will help my case, huh?
Saying
what's left of me? What have you people left of me?
That's the nature of fun.
Let's see. What? I still can't believe that Nintendo won't allow me to buy Metroid Fusion.
Oh, God. This again.
I just want to be able to buy it.
Then buy it. Then buy it online.
I can't.
Get a GBA for
$20. I don't want to buy another console just to play Metroid Fusion.
Okay, then you are living in the unfortunate world of progress and technology moving forward and not always being able to play the games that were released like 10 years ago.
No. It's not. It's not that. It's that they have the means to give me access to it if I pay them money, but they refuse to because they promised their fucking avatars or whatever ambassadors that it would only be for them and for no one else.
Yeah.
Which is dumb, because I would pay them like $15 for that.
Maybe you should just should have had some more trust in the company, Clint. Maybe then you'd be rewarded.
I was waiting for the awesome 3D Zelda one. That's really cool.
You know what? I am a 3DS ambassador. I didn't even download Metroid Fusion.
You should download it.
I just didn't think to.
Can you put it on like a SD card and send it to me?
Oh, so now you just want to engage in piracy.
Maybe.
I see how it is.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to do that, there's more than one way I can help you.
Is Roscoe soft? I don't know. I assume so. He might also
be
dirty.
Is he soft?
He might also be dirty and, like, scratchy.
That's what she said.
Like, are you planning on using him as a pillow?
I do know that I have been, like, a little more prone to my allergies since he's been here, so I might be allergic to raccoons.
Mm.
I also found out that I'm allergic to bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My mom is allergic to bananas, but I've never had an allergic reaction to a banana, so I ate a banana the other day, and I started to feel a tingling in my throat. Now, it could have been just the sheer fact that, you know, I was thinking, man, my mom's allergic to bananas, I don't want to be allergic to bananas, and then my brain just, like, having some kind of reaction to, like, me thinking that I had an allergic reaction just to have one. Or it could be that I actually was starting to have an allergic reaction to the banana.
Or it's just the copious amounts of raccoon hair on all of your edibles.
It could be that, too. In any case, I had to take some Benadryl, like, afterwards. It was liquid Benadryl. That's why I said drink Benadryl. But anyway, I had to have some Benadryl afterwards.
Liquid Benadryl?
Liquid Benadryl.
That's how I consume my PCP.
Was it bubblegum flavored?
No. It was actually pretty flavorless. I think it was grape, but it's also, it's some dumb, stainless. So it's a clear liquid. But if it was to be a liquid, it would probably be, like, if it was to be a color liquid, it would probably be purple.
Man, now that I take, like, pills as opposed to liquid, I cannot imagine going back. Because
yeah,
I find the
just,
taste of that
no,
stuff
no, no,
just
no, no.
so disgusting.
Like, it's just, that is a lot... All I'm saying is, if your throat is closing, and this was what my mom told me.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
If your throat is closing and you've got to get some kind of liquid Benadryl is probably the only thing that you could take. So that's why I have some liquid Benadryl, just in case I fucking have some harsh allergic reaction. And, you know, I actually have a fucking EpiPen at my parents' house. They might have thrown it away, to be totally honest with you. But the doctor gave me an EpiPen whenever I went in to get my allergy shots, like I started having regular allergy shots, and they gave me an EpiPen just in case. Well, I stopped taking those allergy shots like 2 years ago. That EpiPen might actually come in handy. It's just that I no longer have access to that thing. So if I die, probably from allergies.
Okay. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
What? What is the... No. Evan?
What?
Do you have any thoughts at all about Sailor Moon?
No. I've never played a Sailor Moon game nor seen a Sailor Moon thing.
Okay.
Oh, there's a Sailor Moon game?
There
Pretty
is?
Pretty sure.
I don't know. Which is better? This is from Ethan Facette. Actually, a pretty good question. Really hard one for me to answer. Which is better, Metroid Zero Mission or Metroid Fusion, and why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played either.
Oh. Metroid Zero Mission is like if you were to have an extended cut of Lord of the Rings, but for the original Metroid.
Okay. Can I level with you guys here?
Mm-hmm.
This is not a... This is probably... Considering this is essentially the Shit on Evan podcast, this is probably not the best thing to bring up right now.
So you don't really like Metroid all that much?
It's not that I don't like Metroid. It's I've never played a Metroid game.
Ah, that's fine.
You know, I've only played Metroid Prime 3, so, you know.
Wow.
I think
which is kind of a weird one to have only played.
You should download Metroid Fusion onto your 3DS and play that so you can have the experience of playing a Castlevania game in space.
Ooh.
It's pretty much the same thing. If you want to boil down to it, Metroid and Castlevania, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
But they're still both good.
Or sure. you pick up a Metroid.
Metroid come before Castlevania, so wouldn't that be?
Yes, yes.
Wouldn't Castlevania be Metroid and yes. a castle?
Yes, but I was just saying because you probably played Castlevania.
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well then.
But I mean, I know of Castle. I know what they are, so it's all good.
Jeez, what am I fucking doing with you?
I've only played Lords of Shadow for Castlevania.
Wait. What were you saying, Clint, there?
Huh?
Wait, what was that all about?
I'm saying, like, what am I supposed to do with you guys? Like, you haven't played... Evan, you haven't played a Metroid game at all. And Matthew, you've only played Metroid Prime 3.
Mm-hmm.
The only Castlevania game you played is Lords of Shadow.
It's a good game.
It's not a good game.
It's a good game.
It's not a good game.
It's a good game.
It's an okay game.
I think it's a good game.
It's hopelessly generic.
You've never
played the Metal Gear games until recently.
I played Metal Gear 1 a long time ago.
Yeah, I said most of them. The majority of the Metal Gear Solid series you have not played.
Yeah, but at least I have played the first one. I've played one of them in a multi game series. You haven't played any of two series.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
All I'm saying is that we all
I shouldn't
have,
all just hand in my credentials now.
We all have our blank spots in gaming, and I think we should all take the high road and remedy them. Whenever we have the means to, like you could just as easily download Metroid Fusion at any point. No, you can't anymore, can you?
Nope.
Well, you're fucked.
I mean, I'll probably just buy a SNES cartridge.
Of Metroid
or an NES cartridge.
Of Metroid Fusion.
No.
A GBA game.
Of Super Metroid.
I think I'm just going to get Super Metroid on the virtual
console. Or you just buy it in the freaking virtual console. I don't get what the deal is. Why don't you just get it on the virtual console?
It's cheaper.
I don't know. I'd rather have the cartridge. I have a Super Nintendo. I'd rather use it.
Yeah, I would rather have the cartridge because I looked at
it. I could sell it if I wanted to. Yeah. I could sell it when it gets more valuable.
Okay.
Also, I just sort of like the sort of kitsch appeal of having an old video game system.
And if you were to – those video games are only going to last like another 15 years tops.
Right.
Just telling you. They're going to corrode. The battery will go out, but you can still play the game. It's the actual chip itself that goes out within a certain time frame. And soon enough, within the next 10 years or so, those are going to start failing too. And then we're not going to have access to actual cartridges of those games again. And if you really think about it, there is no media that is safe. Film, game.
Do we have like a Library of Congress for video games yet?
No.
I think they do.
They'll just take all of the cartridges and just get like a ROM or something and just store them somewhere so that...
See, but that's the thing. Like, even if you store something on a... And this is what the Film Preservation Society was going through. Like, they don't want to bring a film out to make, like, a Blu-ray restoration of it, because each time they bring it out, it corrodes the film a little bit more once they take out the canister.
Right.
Well, that's the same thing with pretty much every type of media. Like, game cartridges, CDs are not forever. Like, if you were to play a CD that you burned whenever... It was like, when did you start burning CDs? 98? Earlier?
Probably.
Anyway, if you were to try and put that into a CD player, it would skip like crazy. I've actually tried it, and it does skip like crazy. The data actually just lifts off of it over time.
Really?
Yeah.
So like my copy of Arkham Asylum, would that happen to it?
It's sooner or later, within like 20 years or something like that, it would start failing as well.
That's weird and depressing.
But I mean, storing something digitally, like a ROM, is theoretically...
That's where I was going next. Uh-huh. Hard drives also not fail-proof. Those also, over time, start losing their functionality
as
well. Right,
but you can duplicate those. You can back them up.
We don't have a type of preservation that will last forever, that you can still use, and it will last forever.
Also, there's the whole thing about DLC, you know.
Yes, there's the thing about DLC. I'm just saying it's kind of depressing that we have all of this awesome stuff, and sooner or later, if we don't try to find a way to preserve it, like, forever, it's gonna go away.
In theory, Steam is as timeless of a, you know, platform as any right now.
Yes. In theory, Steam is a timeless platform.
Any other questions?
No other questions.
Fourth segment.
Sure.
Break.
What? Okay. I had a little bit of a mix-up there. The thing wouldn't start whenever I told it to. Anyway, we're doing the... What do you call this game?
It's a Wikipedia summary
game. The Wikipedia summary game. Evan Tognati versus Matthew Maluski in a battle of the minds as they try to figure out which video game I am giving them the plot synopsis of. Evan, are you pumped? Are you excited?
What? Yeah. Yeah.
Are you pumped? Are you excited?
Yep.
Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've lost a fair number of games on this podcast
before. That's not even true.
I actually win. Let the man talk.
How are you feeling?
Hold on. Could we get a point taken away from Matthew?
Matthew has a negative one.
Interrupting the judge.
To start off with, Matthew has a negative one. I've actually written this down. Now, Matthew, you've lost a lot of games going into this podcast before. Is that correct?
No.
All right. So, considering your win-loss record, how are you feeling going into this competition?
Very fine, actually.
All right.
I feel like I can win this because
we've got
states.
We've got 10. We have 10 video games that I have chosen at random that we will take, or I will take the plot synopsis of, taking out the core words, and you try to guess what that game actually is.
What if it's like Pong, and then you just say like,
If I win, what do I get?
If you win, you get satisfaction of a job well done.
No, we need stakes.
Okay, if you win, then you get to call Matthew whatever you want.
I mean, how is that any different?
I don't know.
Okay. And what if Matthew wins?
Then he...
He gets to plug his ears while I call him whatever I want.
Exactly. All right, the plot for this first game takes place in the aftermath of the Blank, a catastrophic event that suddenly fractured the city of Blank as well as the surrounding areas. It disrupted the ecology in reducing its people to ash. You take control of this silent protagonist who awakens
on... Matthew?
Matthew.
Fallout 3?
Wrong.
Evan. BioShock.
Wrong. I'm going to give you another chance as I move on to the second paragraph. During his quest, this silent protagonist meets two other survivors. Both of them return to Blank, but upon reading a journal, Blank discovers... that's an unnecessary comma there, so it's no wonder that I can't read this. Anyway, Blank discovers that one of these people is not as trustworthy as they once seemed. Hmm.
Oh, Matthew.
Matthew.
Resident Evil.
No.
Oh.
So this person helped build a weapon intended to destroy this Blank completely to prevent another war. Now, Blank rigged the weapon to backfire so that when he was finally forced to trigger it, the resulting Blank destroyed most of Blank as well. So this place was utterly destroyed.
This sounds really familiar.
To repair Blank's damage to the Bastion, Evan, you're buzzing, but it's gone now.
Matthew?
Damn it. Fuck. Evan's buzzing. Evan's buzzing messed me up, so we can't use that anymore.
Is the buzzing gone?
Yes, but Evan's buzzing threw me off, so we can't use that because I did say the name of the game.
Okay, fine.
All right. Here we go. Why doesn't this have a plot part of the... There is... Okay. Fine, I'll just have to read this part because there's not a plot section of the game. That's fine. There's really not a plot to this game. The main objective of the game is to pick up Blank and take them to Blank as quickly as possible. Along the way, money can be earned by performing Blanks such as Blank with other vehicles. The player is directed to a destination by Blank at the top of the screen.
Oh, Evan.
Yeah.
Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi is correct. I was hoping for a detailed lore of the Crazy Taxi universe.
Of Crazy Taxi.
But I was not.
Why the Pizza
that.
Hut suddenly lost its licensing in later ports.
Yes.
Yes.
At the beginning of this game, new question. At the beginning of this game, a young boy is awakened by a message from Blank who says that...
Matthew.
Matthew.
Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time.
who says that she is locked in the dungeon of Blank. As the message closes, Link finds Blank ready for battle. We already know it's a Zelda, so you just need to find out one. I did say Link, so I apologize for that again. Telling Blank to remain in bed.
Evan. It's Legend of Zelda dash A Link to the Past.
It's actually colon A Link to the Past.
But I'm pretty sure in the actual game it's a dash, but whatever.
It's a colon.
Fine. It's a colon. Don't give me the point.
No one has a point. Evan has 1 point. This is turning out poorly.
Yep.
Because I'm messing up.
Yep.
This game is set in Blank, beginning as Blank and Blank are relaxing in their house when the mail arrives. Now, Blank sends Blank to fetch the mail, which turns out to be an invitation from Blank to a party. Blank and Blank...
Oh, Matthew. Then, Paper Mario.
Paper Mario is correct.
Yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, I knew that, too. Don't act so smug.
This plot synopsis is oddly short, considering how much shit goes down in this game. Okay. This game gives players control of Blank, who is investigating the murder of a young woman. Upon arriving in the town, Blank is greeted by the sheriff and his deputy.
Oh, Matthew. Deadly Premonition.
Deadly Premonition is correct. Moving on to...
I was like, this sounds like Twin Peaks.
It is. At the start of this game...
Twin Peaks didn't have people fucking growing trees out of their chests.
I'm actually going to start in the middle of this
one. Yeah, that's why it's much lamer.
It's true.
Okay, I'm going to start in the middle of this game. Let's call this the end of the first act.
Okay.
Enraged, Blank directs Blank towards Blank's mansion, battling through Blank's Blanks. That's a dumb thing to say. And facing against more deranged citizens. Ultimately, Blank...
Matthew?
Yes.
Resident Evil 4.
False. Okay. Ultimately, well, this isn't actually the first act. I apologize. It's not the first act. It is well past the first act. Ultimately, Blank enters Blank's personal office, where Blank is patiently waiting for Blank by casually playing Blank. That kind of gives away. So, Blank explains that Blank is his illegitimate child, and now I'm going to skip down here. Blank is saved by Blank, and the Blank who had previously been rescued. Blank helps Blank to remove Blank's conditioned responses, including one that would have stopped his heart. With the help of Blank, Blank is able to make his way to Blank's lair and face him. Blank, being quartered by Blank, injects himself with a large amount of Blank.
Matthew? Bioshock?
It is Bioshock, but you already asked and already were...
Well, you paused. Shut down.
I know, but...
You paused.
I'm going to go ahead and give you that point, which brings you to a total of 2.
Okay.
Because you started at negative 1.
Oh, you fucking...
All right. Evan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. You're going to love this one.
Yeah.
The story begins... What the fuck does that mean? It's got some Latin term here. Now I gotta look this up. Oh. Okay, so the story begins in the middle of things. That's what it says in Latin. In medias res. Whatever that means. In the middle of things. So the story begins in the middle of things with a wounded character waking up to find blank, blank, blankening, blank, blank, blank.
Oh, right.
What?
Blank, 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 eating blank.
Was that actually the sentence, or were you just trailing off?
I was actually, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Did I say blanking?
You said blank, blank, blankening, blank.
Yes, that is exactly how I should have said that.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna skip the in medias res so that we can get to the beginning of the game. All right, so this game has some double crosses. The main character is arrested and imprisoned for 3 months. Gets an old friend to help secure his release.
Evan. Is it Uncharted 2?
It is Uncharted 2.
Yuck.
Evan and Matt.
I like Uncharted 2.
You're allowed.
All right.
I just feel like people lump me in as being like you
Uncharted 2.
I absolutely hate these Wikipedia entries. They are terrible, by the way. Sure. Especially this next one. So while I search for the actual back of the box for this, like I actually want to read the back of the box for this one because I feel like it would be
better,
more beneficial for everyone involved.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. What begins as a rebellion against an evil corporation becomes much more, and what erupts goes beyond imagination. With vivid landscapes, lush 3D animation, and environments, Blank's multi-million dollar masterpiece is like nothing ever seen before and is only on Blank. Here's a quote from GamePro magazine. It towers above the competition in terms of graphics, sound, stories, and playability. Game Fan magazine calls it quite possibly the greatest game ever made. It is an epic adventure across 3 CD-ROMs.
CD-ROMs?
I'm just reading this. It's rated teen for comic mischief, mild animated violence, and mild language.
What?
I'll go back to the Wikipedia page.
Like what?
I'll read the first paragraph again. What begins as a rebellion against an evil corporation becomes much more, and what erupts goes beyond imagination. Think about that.
I am.
All right.
Intensely.
Let's see. So the plot article of this game is basically on Wikipedia is basically saying like what it's similar to, and then it's just listing all the different places.
Oh, Matthew, Final Fantasy VII.
Oh,
yes, it is Final Fantasy VII.
Why did it say CD-ROMs?
Because it was on 3 CD-ROMs.
I didn't realize PlayStation discs were CD-ROMs.
They are.
Or are you talking about the PC version of Final Fantasy VII?
Nope.
Because if you are, that's some pretty deceptive shit you're trying to pull.
No, they are on CD-ROMs.
A PlayStation 1 disc is a CD-ROM.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, this next one.
I didn't know that.
This next one is, points are Matthew with 3, Evan with 2. You are Blank, a government agent on a mission to regain control of a secret Blank base from terrorist hands.
Matthew. Metal Gear Solid
is correct. I feel like he's just, you know, looking. What the fuck? Was that my neighbor or was that the fucking raccoon? I don't know. I'm actually curious as to what the back of the box of this next game is. Do you ever have those times whenever you realize, like, man, I did some dumb shit as a kid?
All the time.
Like, not really.
I shouldn't have sold my video games. I shouldn't have done it.
I have no remorse for selling video games.
While lending mission support on Planet Blank, Interstellar Blank Blank is attacked by a Blank, an organism with the ability to With the ability to blank the abilities of any creature it infects. Near death, blank is saved by a vaccine made from the DNA of the last blank. This blank is only natural predator. Oh, okay. So the last blank is the parasite's only natural predator. Anyway, when the blank spread to a research station in orbit around blank, a weakened blank is forced to exterminate them all or die trying.
Oh, Matthew. Dead Space.
No.
Oh.
All right. We got some bullet points. You want to know some bullet points?
Xenomorph.
Search out the blank. Experience classic blank gameplay as blank explores the secret passages of a massive research station teeming with hostile life forms. It really does sound like an alien game, doesn't it? It's not. Another bullet point. Live and learn. Blank must master new moves, like clinging to ledges, leaping off high ladders, and firing new weapons, like blank. Along the way, collect classic blanks like blank, blank, and blank. Another bullet point. There's nowhere to hide. The blank is an unstoppable mimicking blank on the loose, and it could be just around the corner.
I don't know.
Yeah, neither of you have played this game.
What is it?
It's Metroid Fusion.
Oh, you jackass.
All right, we need to be able to solve this, so I'm going to get three more games, then we'll finish this out.
Thank God.
I'm going to pick games from this generation.
Okay.
What game should I choose?
Oh, I have some ideas.
Okay.
I can't tell you what games to choose, Clint.
Actually, here, hold on a second. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to get three games from my shelf and read the backs of the boxes to you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Talk amongst yourselves.
So, Matthew.
Yeah.
How do you feel about backgammon?
About backgammon?
Yeah.
You know, I don't hate it. I also just haven't played it that much. I played a little bit, but
I used to play it a lot. I don't play it as much anymore, but there is there's a cool amount of strategy and kind of like, you know, that risk reward pull of do I really want to try to get this many of my, I forget what they're called, but like the backgammon chips.
Yeah.
Like, do I want to try to get those into my home base or kind of play defensively? That was always an interesting like push and pull.
Yeah.
I really think that backgammon is among some of the most interesting board games of recent years.
Yeah. Least. When was it invented?
You know, I'll check. Mm-hmm. I'll check right now, in fact. You know, it seems like a very classic game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So according to the Wikipedia page, it's actually one of the oldest board games for two players.
Wow. Well, so, I was just caught up when you said sort of new games.
Yeah, I know. I was mistaken.
Yeah.
There's even here, you know, we're talking about like around 3000 BC, you can find makeshift backgammon boards.
Ah, that's pretty cool.
I hate you so fucking much. All right. I grabbed five games because I'm an asshole. I'm going to start with this one. All right.
Also, just to be clear, we didn't just start talking about backgammon when we thought you were coming back. We were talking about it the whole time.
I know.
Okay.
A dark and violent crime thriller set against the backdrop of blank and utilizing...
Matthew. Yeah. Heavy Rain.
No.
Okay. Evan.
Evan.
L.A. Noir.
Correct. L.A. Noir. I was going to say utilizing blank. Revolutionary new facial animation technology. All right. This is the Game of the Year edition of this one.
Okay.
With blank Game of the Year edition, experience the most acclaimed game of blank. If you can't get it by the end, I'll give you that too. Okay. It's just a year. Like never before. Create a blank of your choosing and descend into an awe-inspiring blank world where every minute is a fight for survival. Blank Game of the Year edition. Evan.
Fallout 3?
Fallout 3 is correct.
Yeah.
I was thinking Oblivion the entire time. So.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. This one doesn't have a lot on the back of the box. I guess that's to the quality of its story. I might have to go into the pamphlet. We'll see. Engage in a relentless manhunt to bring justice to the city. That is all it says about the story on the back of the box. It is a blank chase playground. Discover the cinematic blank sensations of over 120 blank as you chase your enemies through the most iconic locations of blank.
Wait, hold on. Could you say part of that again?
The first part or the second part?
The first part.
Engage in a relentless manhunt to bring justice to the city?
Evan. Is that Driver San Francisco?
It is Driver San Francisco. All right. This next one, I'm going to start us off with a quote from IGN. In 16 years of playing games, I've never seen anything like blank.
Yeah.
Deadly Premonition?
Let's see. Betrayed by the blank. Banished for blank. His wife was killed. His daughter, blank. In a truly unique blend of breathless action and story, blank takes you on a relentless quest for revenge against foes with unimaginable powers. Evan,
is it Asura's Wrath?
It's Asura's Wrath.
Oh, you guys, now this is all some you play.
Okay, this next one, well, I guess this next one might be a little unfair then. I might have to go get more. This is fun.
I'm certainly having fun.
You're having fun.
Am I?
Yes. For blank,
if you say so.
For blank, the tragedies that took his blank years ago are wounds that refuse to heal. No longer a blank close to washed up and blank, blank.
Blank. Oh, Matthew. Max Payne 3.
Max Payne 3 is correct. It's funny.
I think
how
he should be disqualified because he said blank before his name.
It's funny how things are actually all tied up now, so I do need to get more games.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Talk about backgammon some more.
I'm just gonna sit here in silence if that's all right with you.
Okay. I'm actually not as in love with Max Payne 3 as I used to be.
Yeah. That's because you're an asshole, but sure.
No, I just... Have you seen the film Man on Fire?
It's... Yes.
Oh, I mean... I feel like Max Payne 3 attempts to ape a lot of...
What's a game you really like?
What's the game I really like?
All right.
Name a game you really like is what
Fallout
I'm trying to say,
3?
With a really good story.
I guess that would be... Heavy Rain.
Okay.
Heavy Rain.
I got another 5. This will be the last 5. I'm going to start us off. One of my favorite games of this generation.
7. Heavy Rain's a lot like 7. Continue.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. explore the world and beyond being larger font than explore the world. It's all in caps, or else I would say it's in caps. Explore the world and beyond. Experience the thrill of blank gaming. You, your friends, and family will jump, dodge, and kick your way through blank, different heart-pounding blank together. Journey through exotic locations like blank, blank.
Okay, Evan.
Huh?
I'm going out on a limb here. Is this Kinect Adventures?
Holy shit. That's great. That's fantastic. Really? Yeah, it is. Well. Okay. All right. This next one is a game that everyone seemed to love at the beginning of the generation. Now everyone seemed to have forgotten.
Ooh.
Ooh.
All right. Claim to be the biggest adventure of all time. It's presented in 16:9 widescreen presentation.
What the fuck? How could people have forgotten about
Jack
this?
And Daxter?
All right. So by saying this, I'm going to give away the platform, but there's no way around it.
Fine.
Fire projectiles with precision simply by aiming at the screen with the pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Swing the Wii Remote and nunchuck attachment to wield your blank and blank. What?
Matthew. Red Steel.
No.
Oh.
Search for clues as a sacred...
Now, don't say anything, Matthew, because you've already used your thing.
Search for clues as a sacred blank when unnatural blank blankets blank. Become a blank.
Just say it, Evan.
Maybe I don't know what it is yet.
All right. If you don't know what it is, I gotta dig in the manual.
Matthew.
If you don't know what it is, I gotta dig in the manual here.
Can I say something now?
No.
No.
Since Evan
I haven't
sucks?
Guessed yet.
All right.
Fine. Say part of it again.
I can't. I don't know what I have said anymore. I'm going into the manual.
I'll take a guess.
I'm in the manual here.
Okay.
Deep in the southernmost region of the blank of blank lies a blank by the name of blank. Cradled in the scenic beauty of pristine farmland, that's fine. The villagers of blank make a living by raising livestock. Among the villagers is a boy, Evan.
Is it Twilight Princess?
It is Twilight Princess.
Okay.
All right. Evan, taking the lead, 8-6.
For the record, I thought it might be that, but I like to be sure about it before I guess.
All right, so let's see.
Sometimes you gotta live fast and furious.
When the other person already guessed Red Steel as being a game everybody loved but forgot about.
Everybody
people
did
just
love kind of it
forgot,
and
about
totally
that.
Forgot about it. I think these next few games are 2 years apart. Exactly. No, they're actually 1 year apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one will be the earliest, and then the next one will be the next year, and the one after that will be the year after that. All right. Lock, load, and face the madness. Get ready for the mind-blowing insanity as blank of blank, 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 blank dash blank, blank, taking out everything that stands in your way. Got some bullet points down here. It is a blank, blank, blank. I can't say any of those things. I can't say that. I'm just going to skip this bullet point because that just gives it away. Fly solo in single player, wreak havoc with a friend in split screen, or drop in and drop out with up to 4-player co-op online and through System Link for a maniacal multiplayer experience.
Matthew. Twisted Metal?
No. Oh, no.
I don't... Okay.
Blank of... Guns.
Oh, Evan.
Huh.
Is it Borderlands?
It is Borderlands.
I don't actually own Borderlands.
The blank of guns thing.
Yeah, I know. I was almost not going to say guns. Yeah. All right. This next game, the year after. I believe so. I'm not entirely sure, but I believe is the year after Borderlands.
Okay.
Every legend has a beginning. Welcome to blank, heart of the blank's blank power, and home to the iconic blank, super blank.
What?
For decades, humanity has fled from the relentless blank threat, but now the largest...
Oh, Matthew. Halo 3? No, Halo Reach.
You guessed Halo 3, which is incorrect.
Evan. Is it Halo Reach?
It is not Halo. It is Halo Reach.
Okay.
I haven't been keeping score. It all comes down to this. I'm going to say you guys are tied.
Okay, even though I am a couple points ahead of Matthew at this point.
Yes. Great game. Fantastic game.
Yeah. Is it a game I think's great?
Probably. The blank, blank, blank are at the height of power, and they are yours to control. Bring the fight to blank, a sordid city of sin, drowning in sex, drugs, and guns. This is your city. These are your rules.
Matthew. Saints Row the Third?
Saints Row the Third.
That was entirely... You lied.
I said probably.
You know how I feel about Saints Row the Third.
I said probably.
There's no probably about it. Yeah, probably doesn't mean I sort of like it.
Yeah,
probably
it
means you think I probably really do like it.
All right. Fine.
God damn it,
if you don't
Clint.
Find that fair, we'll do one last one. Only because I really like this game. This is a currently released game that neither of you have played, but you both know about.
Okay.
All right. This game takes place in a fictional version of... Actually, I'm going to find the box art here. I was about to do the synopsis on... You know what I mean.
Fictional version.
Yes, it is a fictional version. Is that the back of it? That is the back of... Something that is not actually it. It doesn't seem to be here, so I'll have to use the Wikipedia page. Alright. Oh, that's just the setting. Here's the story. I'm not going to read that. Alright. While moving over an abandoned highway... It does that thing again. The first paragraph actually says, the game starts in media res. So, that's apparently a thing that Wikipedia really likes to do.
It's totally a thing.
It's totally a thing, but it's a thing that Wikipedia seems to really like to do. The game starts in media res with blank...
Oh, go ahead. Never mind.
Do you know what it is?
No.
Through the blank skyline, engaging and destroying several pursuing blank en route, a blank hits the city and their helicopter crashes. Flashback then shows Matthew.
Spec Ops The Line.
Is correct.
Okay. Did Matthew win?
I guess so.
Okay. Follow us on Twitter.
That's Clint, a fun game. I really like doing that.
Yeah, no, it is fun. At original Clint. Matthew is at TarrelVirus, TarrelVirus. I'm at not_found_blog. Join our Facebook group, Aeronaut Found Civilized Discourse Corner. Go to aeronautfound.org for all your video game reviews and sometimes movie reviews and podcasts. And yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Follow us on Twitter at not_found_blog.
I just said... I just did that.
Follow me at Original Clint, and Matthew is Terrell Virus with two R's.
Am I dead?
Actually, three.
I'm pretty sure that it's either my chair that is squeaking, a baby upstairs, or that raccoon just had fucking babies.
Yeah.
I hope it's the last.
I don't know which one it is, but it's freaking me out.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was the person upstairs because I just heard a door close.
And on that note, thank you for listening to the Error Report podcast. I mean, not for these.
This has been Clint Prentice, joined by Evan Tognati and Matthew Malewski. We'll see you guys next week.
I hate you all.
Sports night on CSC.
It's not that good.
I didn't have any outro music. Do you want some outro music?
No, I'm good.
I can throw in some outro music for you.
I'm okay, really.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I could throw in some really good outro music.
I think I'm just gonna go.
Are you sure?
I guess I'll bounce.
I'm just saying. Got an outro.
Yeah. I'll see you guys later.